sempre. Great acharyas also, they always wanted the devotees to get trained nicely. Bhaktivinoda Thakur, Bhaktivedanta Tulsi Thakur, and Srila Prabhupada also had a plan of conducting a training program in Shastra specifically for all the devotees. The day after tomorrow, Gaurang Prabhu will be coming here. So I was actually requesting Prabhu to give an inaugural address to all of you. So Prabhu has some form meeting. So he is coming day after tomorrow. Wednesday, Thursday and Friday, Prabhu will be addressing you with the Bhagavatam class also. And if you even over your curriculum today. So the course duration is 2 years, and the courses are mainly Srimad Bhagavatam and Chaitanya Charitamrita. So 2 years back we actually began the course with many auxiliary courses also, like teachings of Prabhupada Kapila, then Nectar of Devotion and Srila Prabhupada Lilamrita also. So over a period of time we actually found that it's difficult for the students to handle so many books, and they are not getting enough time also. So we just restricted our whole thing to Bhagavatam and Chaitanya Charitamrita only in 2 years. And we will conduct some special seminars and courses, very short courses of, you know, four sessions, 3 sessions like that, once in 2 months, just for having something more than Bhagavatam and Chaitanya Charitamrita also. So in the first year approximately we will be completing 9 cantos of Srimad Bhagavatam. And the second year we will be doing the 10th, 11th and 12th cantos and Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, and we will be assigning projects to the student groups. And at the end of 6 cantos, probably after 8 months of, first 8 months of his debut, if the student follows the curriculum and attends all exams, open book exams and everything, so he will be awarded the degree of Bhakti Vaibhav. Then I will just go through the how these things are conducted. So Bhagavatam and Chaitanya Charitamrita are the main things. Bhagavatam will go till almost 1.5 years, and the second half of the second year would be dedicated for Chaitanya Charitamrita. We will go at a pace of 1 chapter in a day. So the 1 chapter, the flow of the chapter and an overview of the chapter is given in a 2.5 hours class, in one day, in one class. If the chapter is very small, we will cover little more than a chapter. If the chapter is too long, say like Kunti Maharani prayers or Brahmaji's prayers in 10th canto, it may go for 2 sessions or 1.5 sessions. But generally we will be covering only 1 chapter in a day, in a class. Then at the end of the class, we will be giving a set of questions based on that chapter. And the rest of the day, post-length session will be dedicated for self-study. So the student can be studying that, and the next day morning there will be an exam from 9:30 to 10 onwards. So 9:30 to 10 there is exam on the questions given in the previous day, on the chapter covered in the previous day. And 10 to 10:15 we will be reciting slokas. Then 10:15 to 12:45 we will be having the session, Bhagavatam class. Then 1 o'clock we will have lunch there in the ashram. Then post lunch you can sit together and study. That's how the day is there. So morning 4 o'clock attendance for you, as all of you were following last 2 days. And morning program will go till 9 o'clock and 9:30 will begin our session here. Even if the morning Bhagavatam class delays by 5-10-15 minutes also, we will end by 9:15, we can begin the exam by 9:30 here. Right? Then, now the assessment is done at different levels. So one thing is the daily exams, which are closed book exams. So the questions are given a priori, and post lunch session you will be studying for them, and next day morning you will be writing, answering the same questions. And apart from those closed book exams, we will have open book exams also. So after, according to Bhakti Vaibhav norms, the Bhakti Vaibhav qualifying candidate should be fulfilling this requirement of writing 20,000 words of open book answers. So we just divided that 20,000 words into 6 cantos. Bhakti Vaibhav syllabus is for 6 cantos. First canto we will be having around 3,500 words open book answers. Then second canto 2,500 words. Then third and fourth cantos being very big, we will have 4,500 words open book answers. Then fifth and sixth cantos again 3,500 words, so like that. So that will come to 20,000 words. So after 10 chapters of first canto, somewhere in the middle of the first canto, we will be giving an open book exam. the morning we'll give you open book questions. You can open any book, mainly this book, mainly Bhagavatam, and answer the questions. And the daily exams that are conducted, which are closed book exams, are mainly memorization based. Right? You are given a section, summarize prayers of King Kunti. What are the six questions asked by the Naimisharanya sages to Sutta Goswami in the first chapter? So that kind of questions. Memorization books, memorization questions which are directly based on the main text of Bhagavatam are given in the daily exams, closed book exams. But open book exams are more reflective and understanding based. I gave some examples. Dhruva Maharaj went back home back to Godhead in spite of performing devotional service with material motives. Explain the possible insight of this example in preaching to newcomers. This is a kind of example. So more like understanding based, practical application, preaching application, that kind of questions are asked in open book exams. So you will be referring to the text, main text of Bhagavatam. Same time you should be reflecting and giving your understanding in the answer sheets. So morning we'll be giving open book questions, and by the end of the day you can submit. Whole day is dedicated for the open book exam only. So like that, during the tenure of say one canto, we'll be having two or three open book exams like that. Otherwise, every day we'll have closed book exam. And to inspire the spirit of cooperating with each other and helping each other, we have not only introduced this concept of batch average. So every day we'll be writing exams, and we'll take an average of all your marks on that particular chapter exam, and we'll be displaying in the ashram, right? So your group average, the average performance of the whole group, will be displayed in the ashram, so that every person's individual responsibility would be to keep the number as high as possible, so that the person who is very good at studies should be helping the person who is not very good at studies. So like that, every person who needs help will get help. Every person who has the ability to help should be able to help also. So that's why we introduced the compulsory study groups also now. So we have already the third batch devotees give their study groups. So three devotees in a group or four devotees in a group, they form a study group and they study together. As I discussed, study, you can have your own plan of group study. Maybe all three, four of you can sit together and then read the whole chapter verse by verse, or you can read individually and come together and discuss points. So somehow that batch will be together, the three devotees will be together, and at the end of the canto we will be giving assignments. So far we had this concept of grand tests. So after the end of the canto, finishing the canto, we will have very big essay questions. Based on that canto, we'll be given 2 days for preparation, and we'll have 100 marks grand test for 3 hours. So over a period of time, we observed that that's getting little heavy for some devotees. So we introduced this concept of assignments. So grand test has the most important key topics of a canto. Right? After the completion of the canto, the student who will be writing the exam would be reflecting on that and then revising the whole thing and writing again. So every student will be going to the key concepts and key chapters of the full canto. But assignments is little different. Each group will be getting one topic from a canto. For example, the lessons from the character of Parikshit Maharaj. After the first canto is completed, we'll be giving an assignment to one study group, which is lessons from the character of Parikshit Maharaj. So to get an answer for this assignment topic, you will have to go through the entire canto, beginning with the 12th chapter Parikshit Maharaj's birth, then 15th, 16th chapter Parikshit Maharaj's activities of chastising Kali, and 18th, 19th chapter Parikshit Maharaj, how he took shelter of Sukadeva Goswami. So you will be finding this answer to this question in several chapters of that same canto. It's like a thematic compilation of things that are related to one topic from the whole canto. So that kind of assignment. So one group will be dwelling deep into one concept only. It's like glories of Sravan from first canto, or the process of creation simplified from second canto. So this kind of thematic topics will be given. these will be executed by the study group. So, I mean, every day you will be sitting together for study, and at the end of the canto, you will be executing the assignment also together. So, that's assignment. And once in a month or two, we will have get together sessions. So, simultaneously, the second batch is also going on, second year batch. So, first year batch and second year batch will come together, and we will have combined sessions like some games, quiz, Krishna conscious games. And of course, definitely the special seminars that we are conducting are also conducted for the both batches together. So that's about study groups, get-togethers, then assignments. And as a part of Bhakti-Vaibhavanams, we will be having presentations given by the students. So after the end of the time, the Bhakti-Vaibhav requires the student to give four presentations, at least four presentations. And this is how we manage. After two cantos, we will be having one presentation, and we will be having one presentation after the third canto, then after the fourth canto, then after the completion of fifth and sixth cantos. So like that, we will have four presentations. So we will be given topics, and if the student is inspired to present on a topic on his own, that is also allowed. So the devotee can be presenting half an hour presentation and 25 minutes presentation and 5 minutes for question answers. So mostly the devotees who are teaching you would be sitting in the jury panel to evaluate your presentations also. So that's one thing, half an hour presentations. Details you can go through in that sheet. Then every day morning you will be having sloka recitation. As I said, 9:30 to 10 o'clock is exam, closed book exam. 10 to 10:15 will be sloka recitation. Then 10:15 to 12:45 is class. So this sloka recitation, actually here also we kind of evolved. In the beginning, we just had an exhaustive list of all important slokas from the full first canto, full one canto, and devotees will be reciting them for 15 minutes. So in a 15 minute session, you will be reciting around 50-60 slokas. But and once the canto changes, the sloka list also changes. So we went through that thing, but later we just modified our style, and then we are selecting only 15 to 20, maximum 20 shlokas in a canto, the most key verses, and you can't reduce this list anymore, that kind of verses. I think all of you must have received this book, small book. So this is the most important shlokas book. So we will be reciting these shlokas for 15 minutes. So first canto we have around 20-25 shlokas are there. So this list we will recite 3 times in a day, from 10 to 10:15. Then, or at least 2 times in a day, 10 to 10:15 we will recite. While the whole batch is reciting the shlokas, one of you would be performing aarti for Srimad Bhagavatam. Right? So that is our shloka recitation session. Like that. Then, morning program, you know, and the next year, second year, after the completion of 9 cantos, we will be given projects, so that we can discuss the details later. So this is a short overview of how this course is conducted. If someone has any questions, we can answer, or we can go to shloka recitation session. Somebody has anything to ask about the course? Okay, so we could begin with the local recitation session. From 10:15 we will have class 2 ready for the course. ಶರತಶ್ಚಾರ್ಥೇಷ್ವಭಿಗ್ನಸ್ವರಾಟ್ ತೇನೆ ಬ್ರಹ್ಮಹೃದಯಾಧಿಕವಯೇ ಮುಹ್ಯಂತಿ ಯಶೂರಯ ತೇಜೋವಾರಿಗಾಂ ಯಥಾ ವಿನಿಮಯೋ ಯತ್ರ ತ್ರಿಸರ್ಗೋ ಮೃಷಃ ಭಾವನಾಶ್ರೇಣ ಸದಾ ನಿರಸ್ತೋಹಕಂ ಸತ್ಯಂ ಪರಂ ಧೀಮಹಿ ಧರ್ಮ ಪ್ರೋದಿತ ಕಲಿತ ವಕ್ತೃ ಪರಮೋ ನಿರ್ಮತ್ಸರಾಣಾಂ ಸತಾಂ ವೇದ್ಯಂ ವಾಸ್ತವಮತ್ರ ವಸ್ತು ಶಿವದಂ ತಾಪತ್ರಯೋನ್ಮೂಲನಂ ಶ್ರೀಮದ್ಭಾಗವತೆ ಮಹಾಮುನಿ ಕೃತೇ ಕಿಂವಾ ಪರೇರೀಶ್ವರಃ ಸದ್ಯೋ ಹೃದಯ ವರುದ್ಧಚೇತ್ರ ಕೃತಿಭಿಃ ಶುಶ್ರೂಷಭಿಃ ತತ್ಕ್ಷಣಾತ್ ನಿಗಮಕಲ್ಪತರೋರ್ಗಲಿತಂ ಫಲಂ ಸುಖಮುಖಾರಮೃತದ್ರವ ಸಂಯುತಂ ತಿವತ ಭಾಗವತಂ ರಸಮಾದಯಂ ಮುಹುರಹೋರಸಿಕಾ ಭುವಿ ಭಾವುಕಾ ಪ್ರಾಯೇಣ ಅಲ್ಪಾಯುಷಸ್ಸದ್ಯ ಫಲಾವಸ್ಮಿನ್ ಯುಗೇ ಜನಾ ಮಂದಸ್ಮಂದಮತಯೋ ಮಂದಭಾಗ್ಯಾ ಉಪಾದೃತಾ ಯತ್ಪಾದ ಸಂಶಯಸ್ತು ಮುನಯ ರಚನಾನಯ ಸದ್ಯ ಪುನಂತ್ಯುಪಸ್ಥಿತ ಸ್ವಧ್ವನ್ಯಾಪೋ ನಿಷೇವಯ ವಯಂ ತುನ ವಿಪ್ರಯತ್ತಮ ಉತ್ತಮ ಶ್ಲೋಕ ವಿಕ್ರಮೇ ಯಶೃಣ್ವತಾಂ ರಸಜ್ಞಾ ಸಾಧು ಸಾಧು ಪದೇ ಪದೇ ಯಸ್ವಾನುಭಾವಮಖಿಲ ಶ್ರುತಿ ಸಾರಮೇಕಂ ಅಧ್ಯಾತ್ಮದೀಪಮತಿದೀರ್ಷಿತಾಂತಮೋಂಧ ಸಂಸಾರಿಣಾಂ ಕರುಣಯಾ ಸು ಪುರಾಣ ದುಹ್ಯಂ ಸಂವ್ಯಾಸಸೂನೋಪಯಾಮಿ ಗುರುಂ ಮುನೀನಾಂ ಸ ವೈ ಪುಂಸಾಂ ಪರೋ ಧರ್ಮೋ ಯತೋ ಭಕ್ತಿರಘೋಕ್ಷಸೆ ಅಹೈತುಕಿ ಅಪ್ರತಿಹತ ಯಯಾತ್ಮಾ ಸುಪ್ರಸೀದತಿ ವಾಸುದೇವೇ ಭಗವತಿ ಭಕ್ತಿಯೋಗ ಪ್ರಯೋಜಿತ ಜನಯತ್ಯಾಸು ವೈರಾಗ್ಯಮು ಜ್ಞಾನಂ ಚ ಯದಹೈತುಕಂ ಧರ್ಮಸ್ಪರಿಷ್ಠಿತಾ ಪುಂಸಾಂ ವಿಶ್ವಕ್ಷೇಣ ತಥಾಸುಯ ನ ಉತ್ಪಾದಯ್ಯದಿರತಿಂ ಶ್ರಮಯೇವ ಹಿ ಕೇವಲಂ ವದಂತಿ ತತ್ತತ್ತವಿದಸ್ತತ್ವಂ ಯಜ್ಞಾನಮದ್ವಯಂ ಬ್ರಹ್ಮೇತಿ ಪರಮಾತ್ಮೇತಿ ಭಗವಾನಿತಿ ಶಬ್ದಯೇ ಅತಃ ಕುಂಭಿರ್ದ್ವಿಜಶ್ರೇಷ್ಠ ವರ್ಣಾಶ್ರಮ ವಿಭಾವಶಃ ಸ್ವನಿಷ್ಠಿತಸ್ಯ ಧರ್ಮಸ್ಯ ಸಂಸಿದ್ಧಿರ್ಹರಿಪೋಷಣಂ ತಸ್ಮಾದೇಕೇನ ಮನಸಾ ಭಗವಾನ್ ಸಾತ್ವತಾಂಬಕೆ ಶ್ರೋತವ್ಯಃ ಕೀರ್ತಿತವ್ಯಶ್ಚ ಯದನುಧ್ಯಾಸಿನಾ ಯುಕ್ತ ಕರ್ಮ ಗ್ರಂಥಿ ಬಂಧನ ಛಿಂದಂತಿ ಕೋವಿದಸ್ತಸ್ಯ ಕೋನ ಪುಣ್ಯಾರ್ಥಾರತಿ ಶುಶ್ರೂಷೋ ಶ್ರದ್ಧಾನಸ್ಯ ವಾಸುದೇವ ಕಥಾವೃತಿ ಸನ್ಮಹತ್ಸೇವಯಾ ವಿಪ್ರ ಪುಣ್ಯತೀರ್ಥ ನಿಷೇವನಾತ್ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಪುಣ್ಯಶ್ರವಣ ಕೀರ್ತನ ಹೃದ್ಯಂತಸ್ತೋಹ್ಯಭದ್ರಾಣಿ ವಿಧುನೋಪಿ ಸುಹೃತ್ಸತಾ ಏಕೇತಾಂ ಚ ಬಲಾಪುಂಸ ಕೃಷ್ಣಸ್ತು ಭಗವಾತ್ಮಯ ಇಂದ್ರಾರಣ್ಯಾಕುಲಂ ಲೋಕಂ ನುಡಯಂತಿ ಯುಗೇ ಯುಗೇ ಸ ವೇದಧಾತು ಪದವೀಂ ಪರಸ್ಯ ದುರಂತವೀರ್ಯಶ್ಚ ರಸಾಂಬಕಾಣೇ ವ್ಯೋಮಾಯಾಧಂಗತಯಾನುವೃತ್ಯ ಭಜೇತ ತತ್ಪಾದಶ ರೋಜಗಂಧಂ ವಿಷ್ಣೇಶ ಧಾಮೋಪರ್ತೆ ಕಲೋ ನಷ್ಟಿತ್ರಪದಂ ಹರೇರ್ಯಶೋ ಜಗತ್ಪವಿತ್ರಂ ಪ್ರಗಣೀತ ಕಲ್ಹಿಸಂತೀರ್ಥಂ ಶಂತಿ ಮಾನಸ ಹೇತ್ರಹಂಸಾ ನಿರಮಂತಿ ತಿಕ್ಷಯ ತದ್ವಾಭಿಸರ್ಗೋ ಜನದಾಭ ವಿಪ್ಲವೋ ಯಸ್ಮಿನ್ ಪ್ರತಿ ಶ್ಲೋಕಮವದ್ಭವತ್ಯತಿ ನಾಮಾನ್ಯಂತಸ್ಯೇಷಾಂಕಿತಾನಿ ಯತ್ ಕೃಣ್ವಂತಿ ಗಾಯಂತಿ ಭಿಣಂತಿ ಸಾಧವ ನೈಶ್ಚರ್ಯಮತ್ಯತ್ಯುತ ಭಾವವರ್ಜಿತಂ ನ భజన్ అపక్వోత్పతేర్మత తస్యైవ హేతో ప్రయతేత కో విదో నలభ్యతే లభ్యతే దుఃఖమదన్యత సుఖం కాలేన సర్వత్ర ఏతద్ధి ఆతుర చిత్తానాం మాత్రా స్పర్శేచ్ఛయా ముహో భవసింధు ప్లవో ద్రష్టో హరిచర్యాను వర్ణనం భక్తి యోగేన మనసి సమ్యక్ ప్రణీతే భవే అపశ్యత్యేదం పూర్ణం మాయాం చ తదపాశ్రయం యయా సమ్మోహితో జీవ ఆత్మానం త్రిగుణాత్మకం కరోపి మనుదేనర్థం తత్కృతం చాభిపద్యతే అనర్థోపశమం సాక్షాత్ భక్తి యోగమధోక్షజే లోకస్యాజాతో విద్వాన్ చక్రే సాత్వత సంహితాం యస్యాం వై శ్రూయమాణాయాం కృష్ణే పరమ పూరుషే భక్తిరుత్పద్యతే పుంస శోకమోహ భయాపహ ఆత్మారామస్య మునయో నిర్గంతాప్యుక్రమే కుర్వంతి అహైతుకీం భక్తిం ఇత్తం భూత మనోహరే విపద సంతులస్యో దర్శనం యత్పునర్భవ దర్శనం గోచరం శృణ్వంతి గాయంతి ఘనంత్య భిక్ష్ణశ స్మరంతి నందందితవేహితం జనా తయేవ పశ్యంతి అచిరేణ తావకం భవ ప్రవాహో పరమం పదాంబుజం శైలేనన్య విషయా మతిర్మధుపతే రసిం ఉద్భవదాగతా గంగే లోభం ఉదంగతి సర్వం కాదృతం మన్యే భవతాం జయప్రియం సపాలో యద్వశే లోకో జ్యేష్ఠగర్భిచిత్రాజం కుమాన్ వేద విభిక్షతాం యద్విజిజ్ఞాసయా యుక్త ముహ్యంతి చ వయోభిః విభిన్నం పశ్చాత్తరీయం. సో దిస్ హాఫ్ ది క్యాంటో విల్ రీసైట్ ద ఫస్ట్ 9 చాప్టర్స్ ఆఫ్ దిస్. జన్మాద్యస్య యథోన్వయాది తరతశ్చార్థే స్వభిజ్ఞేశ్వరః తేనే బ్రహ్మహృదయాది కవయే నిరస్తకం సత్యం పరం ధీమహి ధర్మ ప్రోజిత కైదోత్ర పరమో నిర్మత్సరాణాం సతాం వేద్యం వాస్తవమత్ర వస్తు శివతమం పాపత్రయోన్మూలనం శ్రీమద్భాగవతే మహాముని కృతే కింవా పరేశ్వరః సద్యో హృదయవరుద్ధచేత్రకృతిభిః శుశ్రూషభిః తక్షణాత్ నిగమకల్పతరోర్గళితం ఫలం సుఖముఖామృతద్రవసంయుతం శివత భాగవతం రసమాలయం మూరహో రసికా భువి భావుకా ప్రాయేణాయుషస్య కళావస్మిన్యుగేజన మంద సుమందవతయో మందభాగ్యా ఉపాధృత యత్పాదసంశ్రయాసూత మునయ ప్రశమానయ సద్యః పునంతి పశ్చృత స్వధ్వన్యాపోనుషేదయ వయం తున విప్రతయామ ఉత్తమ శ్లోక విక్రమే ఆస్వాదుసాధుపదే పదే శ్రుతిసారమేకం అధ్యాత్మదీపమతిశాంతమోదం
संसारिणां करुणया च पुराणगुह्यं तं व्याससूनुमुपयामि गुरुं मुनीनां स वै पुंसां परो धर्मो यतो भक्तिरधोक्षते अहैतुकी अप्रतिहतायात्मा सुप्रसीदति वासुदेवे भगवती भक्तियोगप्रयोजित जनयत्याशु वैराग्यं नाम च यदहैतुकम् धर्मस्मनश्चितः पुंसां विश्वक्षेण तथा सुयः न उत्पादयेद्यति रतिं श्रमयेव हि केवलम् वदन्ति तत्तत्सविदस्तत्त्वं यज्ञानमौदर्यम् ब्रह्मेति परमात्मेति भगवान् इति शब्दये अतः कुम्भेर्द्विजश्रेष्ठवर्णाश्रमविभागत स्वनिष्ठितस्य धर्मस्य संसिद्धिर्भरितोषणम् तस्मादेकेन मनसा भगवान् सात्वतां पते श्रोतव्यः कीर्तितव्यश्च ध्येयः पूज्यश्च नित्यता यदनुभ्यासिना युक्ता कर्मग्रन्थिनिबन्धनम् छिन्दन्ति को वितस्तस्य को न कुर्यात् तथा रतिम् शुश्रूषो श्रद्धदानस्य वासुदेव कथा रुचि स्यान्महत्सेवया विप्रा पुण्यतीर्थानि सेवनात् शृण्वतां स्वकथा कृष्ण पुण्यश्रवणकीर्तन हृद्यन्तस्तोभ्यभद्राणि विधुनोति सुहृत्सताम् एतेषां सकला पुंस कृष्णस्तु भगवान् स्वयम् इन्द्रारिव्याकुलं लोकं मृडयन्ति युगे युगे स्वेदधातुः पदवीं परस्य दुरन्तवीर्यस्य रथाङ्गपाणे यो मायया सन्ततया निहृत्य भजेत तत्पाद सरोजगन्धम् कृष्णे स्वधामोपगते धर्मज्ञानादिभिः सह कलो नष्टदृशामेष पुराणार्थो भुनीदत न यद्वचश्चित्रपदं हरेर्यशो जगत्पवित्रं प्रवणीतकर्भित् तद्गायतं तीर्थं शन्ति मानसा न यत्र हंसा निरमन्ति शिक्षया तद्वाग्विसर्गो जनकाभविप्लवो यस्मिन् प्रतिश्लोकमभ्यमच्यति नामान्यनन्तस्य यशोऽङ्कितानि यत् शृण्वन्ति गायन्ति गृणन्ति साधव नैष्कर्म्यमत्यच्युतभाववर्जितम् न शोभते ज्ञानमलं निरञ्जनम् कुतः पुनश्चश्वतलब्धमीश्वरे न चार्पितं कर्म यदत्यकारणम् कल्पासधर्मं चरणाम्बुजं हरे भजन् अपक्वोतपतेजोभरे कोऽर्थाक्तो भजतां स्वधर्मतः तस्यैव हेतो त्रयकेत को विदो न लभ्यते यद्धनतामुपद्यः तल्लभ्यते दुःखवदन्यतः सुखम् कालेन सर्वत्र गभीररम्भस एतद्धि आतुरचित्तानां मात्रा स्पर्शेच्छया भवसिन्धुप्लवो दृष्टो हरिचित्तामुवर्णनम् भक्तियोगेन मनसि अपश्यतां दोषं पूर्णं मायां च तदपाश्रयम् आत्मानं त्रिगुणात्मकम् करोति मनुतेनर्थं तत्कृतं चाभिपद्यते हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे
I think we ended up selecting more verses than okay we couldn't shorten it and I'm sorry for the not proper breaks between lines. So from tomorrow we will lead this work. From tomorrow Rajeshan Guru will be leading this work. Thank you. So we will wait for that.
श्रीवासादि गौर भक्त वृंद हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे। Bhagavatam. Let us take the blessings of all the devotees here, especially Sadashyam Prabhu and Vyashadavala Prabhu, so that I can render some proper service to all the devotees. So today we will begin with the first chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam, first canto. So in the beginning, we will try to discuss some quotes of Srila Prabhupada on studying Srimad Bhagavatam, and we will also discuss some brief introduction to Srimad Bhagavatam before we start with the first verse. So Prabhupada, I will just mention briefly some of the quotes. So there have been many quotes in the about Prabhupada and Srimad Bhagavatam. Some of the quotes were, Prabhupada says that Srimad Bhagavatam is the topmost education. The education becomes complete when a person studies Srimad Bhagavatam, and it is the topmost education. And he quotes here verse. I tried to find out the reference to the verse, but I couldn't find out. But he quite often he quotes this verse. Vidya Bhagavata Avadi. That means he says that education becomes complete when a person studies Srimad Bhagavatam. In under quote, Prabhupada explains that our main business is to hear and chant. Since we cannot do this 24 hours, so therefore we have extended our activities. In the sense that our main business is to hear and chant Srimad Bhagavatam and the holy names of the Lord. And then another quote he mentions that our purpose is to create fluent speakers of Srimad Bhagavatam. And then in regards to method of study, he says that just like we take darshan starting from the lotus feet, one should study starting from the first canto. And then he says, just like when we worship the deities, we start worshipping the deities starting from the lotus feet by offering tulasi leaves at the lotus feet of the Lord. So similarly, we start studying Srimad Bhagavatam from the first canto. In the Rudra Gita, Lord Shiva says, Pada Sharat Padma Palasha Rochisha Nakat Yubir Nondar Agam Vidun Vata. So he when he describes the form of the Lord, he starts from the lotus feet. He says that the two lotus feet of the Lord, the two lotus feet of the Lord compared to the lotus flowers in the Sharad season, in the autumn season. And the nails from the lotus feet of the Supreme Lord, they completely eradicate the ignorance. So Prabhupada explains in the purport, just like Lord Shiva describes starting from the two lotus feet of the Lord, one should start studying from the first two cantos. So this is some of the quotes of Srila Prabhupada on Srimad Bhagavatam. And some other thing which Prabhupada explains, one important point which Prabhupada explains in the introduction, in the preface of the Srimad Bhagavatam is that he says with respect, he compares Srimad Bhagavatam versus other scriptures. He particularly explained that Srimad Bhagavatam especially talks about the absolute truth. The concept of God, usually gives understanding that how God is a controller. But in the Srimad Bhagavatam, it does not simply talk about God, it actually directly hints at the absolute truth. And absolute truth means the Samam Golam, or one who is the source of all energies. It's like, suppose somebody asks you a question, where do you reside? So we can give different answers. We can say, I stay in India. Or to be more particular, we can say, I stay in Maharashtra. Or I stay in Bombay. So all these answers are correct. But when you say, I stay in 7 K. Munshi Marg, Girgaon Chowpatty, opposite Bharati Vidya Bhavan, Mumbai 7. This is like exactly pinpointing to the address. So only concept of God as a controller, it is like a very general concept about God. But Srimad Bhagavatam talks about the absolute truth, which is the summum bonum or the source of all energies. And when we talk about Srimad Bhagavatam versus other scriptures, like for example Vedas, they give instruction to a living entity in the mood of a, like a master gives servant, master gives instruction to a servant. And the Puranas and Itihasas, they give the same instruction just like a friend gives instruction to another friend. And the Kavyas, they give instruction to a living entity like a lover speaks to a beloved. But Srimad Bhagavatam adopts all the three methods. Srimad Bhagavatam, it contains instructions, it contains stories, and it contains wonderful poetry. So Srimad Bhagavatam adopts the method of the Vedas, Puranas and the Kavyas. So when we talk about Srimad Bhagavatam versus other scriptures, in the case of Vyasa himself has written so many other scriptures. In other scriptures also, he has talked about pure devotional service, he has glorified Krishna, he has glorified Krishna's pastimes, he has talked about the incarnations of Krishna. But in the other scriptures, Vyasa has also glorified the other goals of Dharma, Artha, Kama and Moksha. Although he has glorified Krishna, but he has also glorified other demigods and other goals and other sadhanas. So the purpose of Gita and the Bhagavatam is to establish Krishna as the ultimate sadhya and bhakti as the ultimate sadhana. So in other scriptures, Vyasadeva has talked about, apart from bhakti, he has talked about other sadhanas, and apart from Krishna as a sadhya, he has also talked about other sadhyas. So other scriptures are like, suppose if you have a sewn papadi, if you have a box of sewn papadi, so inside the box there is sewn papadi and the sewn papadi is covered with a box. So other scriptures of Vyasadeva are like, it contains sewn papadi but it is covered by the box of Dharma, Artha, Kama and Moksha. And in some scriptures there is like a huge box but inside only one or two sewn papadis is there. Means like, majority has talked about Dharma, Artha, Kama and Moksha and very little about Krishna. In some scriptures he has talked predominantly about Krishna and Bhakti, but little bit of Dharma, Artha, Kama and Moksha is there. Means like small box and but lot of sewn papadis inside. But in the case of Srimad Bhagavatam, the cover itself is made of sewn papadi. The sense, there is no adulteration of Dharma, Artha, Kama and Moksha. So that is the comparison of Srimad Bhagavatam with other scriptures. And Jiva Goswami, in the Tattva Sandarbha, he actually he discusses in great detail. Is starting from he talks about the different pramanas. We know that shabda pramana, pratyaksha pramana, anumana pramana. So there are totally 10 pramanas are there. So Srimad Jiva Goswami first establishes how shabda pramana is the topmost. And then after establishing shabda pramana, then he says among all the shabdas, among all the Vedic literatures, Srimad Bhagavatam is considered as a Chakravarti Pramana. Emperor among all the Shabda Pramanas. It's like that's like we have like Munsif Court, District Court, High Court and Supreme Court. So all these are actually courts, but the judgment given by the Supreme Court, that is like the highest, that is like the highest, we can say, the topmost authority lies the Supreme Court. So similarly, although Vedas, Puranas, Itihasas, all these come under the category of Shabda, but still the among all the Shabdas, the emperor among all the Pramanas, among all the Shabda Pramanas is actually Srimad Bhagavatam. So if we see actually Srila Prabhupada's preaching also, in the in the Prabhupada Leelamrita, there is a famous quote of Thomas Hopkins. He compares actually Srila Prabhupada with Jesus Christ. So Jesus Christ, he was preaching to people whom he was familiar with, and he was preaching in a place which he was familiar with, and he was preaching in a language that others were familiar with, which we are familiar with. But in the case of Srila Prabhupada, he went to preach to a place which was not familiar with, the culture of people which was not familiar with. In fact, he had never met such people, and he was giving a message which they have never heard before, and he tried to inspire them to do those things which they had never done before. And he made them give up those things which they actually cherished as the goal of their life, the four sinful activities. So Srila Prabhupada actually he was preaching to the toughest audience of the people. In the case of hippies, he started preaching to the hippies. But how did he actually succeed in his preaching? So Prabhupada went as a barrier to actually preach in the Western countries. Just like when a person goes for a war as a warrior, he has to carry the weapon. So when Prabhupada went as a warrior, what weapon did he carry? So going to a war without a weapon is actually so meaning. So Prabhupada, the weapon which Prabhupada carried to the West was Srimad Bhagavatam. When he completed the first three volumes of the first canto, then he felt that actually now I am ready to actually I can go and actually preach in the Western countries. So that's why we see that so Prabhupada actually chose this book as his main weapon in his preaching to Western countries. And in the first canto, in the beginning, Srila Vishnu Chakravarti gives a different comparison to Srimad Bhagavatam. So first he gives actually five comparisons. He says Srimad Bhagavatam is compared to a lamp. Okay, before that, as you know, Srimad Bhagavatam contains 12 cantos. So Srimad Bhagavatam is non-different from Krishna. Like when Krishna appears as a day, he appears as Ekadashi. When he appears as a forest, he appears as Naimisharani. When the Lord appears as a book, he appears as Srimad Bhagavatam. So Srimad Bhagavatam is non-different from Krishna, and the 12 cantos of Srimad Bhagavatam, they represent different bodily parts of Krishna. So the first two cantos, they actually correspond to the lotus feet of the Supreme Lord. And third and fourth canto, they represent the thighs of the Lord. And the fifth canto represents the waist of the Lord. And the sixth canto represents the chest of the Lord. Seventh and eighth canto represent the two arms of the Lord. And ninth canto represents the neck of the Lord. And tenth canto represents the smiling face of the Lord, and 11th canto represents the forehead of the Lord, and 12th canto refers to the crown of the Lord. So in this way, the 12th canto refers to different bodily parts of Krishna. And as I mentioned, Vishnu Chakra Thakur compares Srimad Bhagavatam to different things. He says Srimad Bhagavatam is compared, first he compares Srimad Bhagavatam to a lamp. So in the case of a lamp, when there is a dark room, when you light up a lamp, a lamp actually destroys the darkness from the room. So similarly, Srimad Bhagavatam shows its nature as a light by giving deliverance from misery through general understanding of the Supreme Lord. Just like a lamp destroys the darkness, the Srimad Bhagavatam gives deliverance from misery by giving a general understanding of the Lord. And Srimad Bhagavatam is also compared to a sun. So all these comparisons, they come in different verses of the Bhagavatam. Like Bhagavatam is compared to a lamp in the first chapter, second chapter. Yagaswanu Bhavam Akila Shruti Saram Ekam Adhyatma Deepam Atithir Shatam Tamundam. And Bhagavatam is compared to a sun in Krishne Sodamo Pagate Dharma Jnana Dibisaha. So in the case of a sun is actually more powerful than a lamp, in the sense that sun destroys, like when sun is present, you can see all the different objects present in a room with its full distinct features. The lamp may be present, the darkness may be gone, but you may not be able to understand the different features of an object present in a room. But when sun is present, you can see clearly all the minute features of different objects. So sun is more powerful. The sense Srimad Bhagavatam is compared to the sun because it destroys even the misconceptions of the demons. It destroys even the misconceptions of the demons and it brings joy to the devotees. So lamp is just gives deliverance from misery and gives a general understanding of the Lord. But sun is more positive, it gives joy to the devotees and destroys the misconceptions of the demons. Another thing the Vishnu Chakravartam says that the Bhagavatam is compared to a sun. Just like sun has got 12 forms in the 12 months, so similarly Srimad Bhagavatam has got 12 cantos. The 12 cantos are compared to the 12 forms for each month of the year of the corresponding to the sun. And the third comparison, he says Srimad Bhagavatam is compared to a tasty fruit. So tasty fruit, says that this comparison is given in the third verse of the Bhagavatam. Nigama Galbataro Galitam Phalam Shukamukha Dhamrata Dravasam Yasam. So what we can see is that Bhagavatam actually caters to the need of all levels of people. So Bhagavatam is compared to a tasty fruit in the sense that it is a bestower of tasty fruit full of rasa, and this is available especially to the devotees of the Lord, especially to the pure devotees of the Lord. So Bhagavatam acts like a tasty fruit for pure devotees of the Lord. So for general people it acts like a lamp, and it also acts like a sun. So in the sense, the many times we have a challenge of actually supposing there is an audience. The new people are there, some people who are intermediate people are there, and then those who are like already like fixed up in Krishna consciousness, they are there. It becomes difficult to actually speak something which all the people can, all of them can relate to. That becomes a challenge for us. But we see Srimad Bhagavatam, it caters to the need of all kinds of people. It gives those who are completely new, it gives those who are seeking some freedom from misery, it gives relief from misery, it gives a general understanding of the Lord. And those who are a little more serious, it gives a more detailed understanding, it acts like a sun. And those who are fixed up devotees, it gives actually, it acts like a tasty fruit. And the fourth comparison is that Srimad Bhagavatam is compared to a desire tree. it is compared to desired tree. Of course, Vedas are also compared to desired tree. But Vishwakarma says, Srimad Bhagavatam is also compared to desired tree. And the 18,000 verses of the Srimad Bhagavatam, and they are compared to the leaves of the desired tree. It's like a desired tree fulfills all the goals. So similarly, Bhagavatam fulfills all the goals of the great devotees. And the fifth comparison is that Bhagavatam is compared to Mohini Murti. It's compared to Mohini Murti in the sense that just like Mohini Murti distributed the nectar to the demigods and did not distribute the nectar to the demons. So similarly, Srimad Bhagavatam gives its real meaning, which is like compared to nectar, to the devotees. And to non-devotees, it gives different meaning. It gives actually different meaning. Srimad Bhagavatam gives different meaning. So, let's say Bhagavatam is compared to Mohini Murti. And one may say, how can you say that Bhagavatam gives some unfavorable meanings to non-devotees? How can it be possible? So Vishwasakva Thakur says, because Srimad Bhagavatam is non-different from Krishna, so Srimad Bhagavatam has got all the powers as Krishna. And he quotes this verse, Mallanam Ashani Ninam Naravaro Srinam Smaro Murtiman. When Krishna entered the wrestling arena of Kamsa, how different people perceived Krishna in different ways. So there, one of the group of people, it is mentioned, Virad Avidusham. So those who are foolish people considered Krishna to be a some ordinary person. Virad Avidusham. Foolish people considered Krishna to be some materialistic person. So just like foolish people consider Krishna to be materialistic person. Similarly, to the foolish people, Srimad Bhagavatam gives unfavorable meanings. Because Srimad Bhagavatam is not different from Krishna, it also has the same qualities as Krishna. And Krishna, just like Krishna, to the foolish people, he gave them understanding that he is some ordinary person. Similarly, Srimad Bhagavatam, to a foolish person, it gives some ordinary meaning, which is not the real meaning. In this way, Srimad Bhagavatam acts like a Mohini Murti. So if you see the first three verses, I'll just give a brief breakup and then we'll go to the first verse. The first verse defines the absolute truth. What is absolute truth? And the second verse describes the glories of Srimad Bhagavatam, and it also defines what is true religion. And the third verse invites all the humanity to taste Srimad Bhagavatam's sweetness. So first verse describes absolute truth, and second verse describes the glories of Srimad Bhagavatam, third verse invites everyone to taste the sweetness of Srimad Bhagavatam. And another breakup is that first verse gives Sambandha Jnana, what is absolute truth, and second verse describes Abhideya. How can we actually know the absolute truth? That is by giving oral reception to Srimad Bhagavatam. And third verse describes the prayojan. When you hear Srimad Bhagavatam, what will you get? You can actually taste rasa. You can taste the spiritual rasa which a living entity experiences in connection with the Supreme Lord. Another way of breakup is that first verse describes the greatness of the absolute truth. And what is absolute truth? Greatness of the absolute truth. And second verse describes the greatness of Srimad Bhagavatam. Greatness of Srimad Bhagavatam, in the sense that by giving oral reception to Srimad Bhagavatam, That absolute truth which is described in the first verse becomes captured in the heart of a person. Then the second verse describes the greatness of Srimad Bhagavatam. And the third verse describes the sweetness of Srimad Bhagavatam. So this is a short breakup of the first three verses. So before we actually go to the first verse, let us try to see like how the way Vishnu Shakyamuni begins the purport, just to appreciate his actually mood of humility. So Vishnu Shakyamuni says that I am not learned, I am rash in this attempt to write a commentary on Srimad Bhagavatam. So usually when we read the books of any mundane authors, they try to glorify themselves in their book. But here, like in a spiritual book, Vishnu Shakyamuni says, I am rash in this attempt to write commentary on Srimad Bhagavatam. And if the cause of writing this commentary, it is actually, if it is because of my own whims, then it will only produce mockery in the, people only mock at me, the devotees will only mock at me. But if the cause of writing this commentary is the mercy of the Lord, then it will actually it will produce bliss with every word for the devotees. So the point is that actually Vishnu Shakyamuni writes that after reading the commentary of Sridhar Swami for a long time, I am writing this commentary. So he is actually writing this commentary based on the following the Purushottama commentaries of Sridhar Swami, but still he is saying that maybe I am rash in this attempt. So the point is that when we try to execute devotional service according to the guidance of the spiritual master and the previous acharya, then it will produce actually bliss to others. It will produce bliss to ourselves and to others. Otherwise, it will only people only mock at us. It will be a rash attempt. And so then he says that the meanings of all the Puranas and the scriptures, the meanings of all the Puranas and the scriptures, they are compared to a treasure. The real meanings of the Puranas and scriptures, they are compared to a treasure. Just like, suppose there is a treasure in a building, a watchman is supposed to guard the treasure. When the watchman goes to sleep, the thieves come and actually steal the treasure. So similarly, he says, the meanings of the different scriptures, they are like a treasure which produces satisfaction of the heart. But somehow, due to the influence of time and due to the influence of time and irregularity and the appearance of irregularity and destiny and even laziness, some of these meanings of the scriptures, they have fallen asleep. They have gone asleep. That means the watchman has gone asleep. So watchman is supposed to guard the treasure. The treasure is compared to satisfaction of the heart. The meanings of the different scriptures, they are compared to the watchman. Just like a watchman is compared to guard the treasure, the meanings of the different scriptures, they are actually supposed to produce satisfaction of the heart. They are supposed to guard the satisfaction. But because they have gone asleep, due to the influence of time and irregularity, so people were not experiencing satisfaction. And so the influence of time is compared to the thieves. Thieves actually, they came and stole that satisfaction. Similarly, the influence of time, when the meanings went asleep, time actually came and stole the satisfaction of the heart. So then, just like the Lord appears whenever there is a decline of religion, whenever there is a predominance of religion, so similarly, the Srimad Bhagavatam has appeared in order to restore the satisfaction of the heart. In order to give the satisfaction of the heart. In this way, Vishwa Chakratako writes in his commentary. So, we will recite the first verse together and then we will try to discuss some of the points from Srila Prabhupada's purport. जन्माद्यस्य यतोऽन्वयाति तरतः चार्तेष्वभिज्ञस्वराट् तेने ब्रह्म हृदाय आदिकवये मुह्यन्ति यत्सूरय तेजो वारि मृदां यथा विनिमयो यत्र त्रिसर्गो मृषा दाम्ना स्वेन सदा निरस्तसुहकम् सत्यं परं धीमहि.
My Lord, Sri Krishna, son of Vasudeva, who are pervading personality of Godhead, I offer my respectful obeisances unto you. I meditate upon Lord Sri Krishna because he is the absolute truth and immutable cause for all causes of the creation, sustenance and destruction of the manifested universes. He is directly and indirectly conscious of all manifestations and he is independent because there is no other cause beyond him. It is he only who first imparted the Vedic knowledge unto the heart of Brahmaji, the original living being. By him, even the great sages and the demigods are placed into illusion, as one is bewildered by the illusory representations of water seen in fire or land seen on water. Only because of him do the material universes temporarily manifested by the reactions of the three modes of nature appear factual, although they are unreal. I therefore meditate upon him, Lord Sri Krishna, who is eternally existent in the transcendental abode, which is forever free from the illusory representations of the material world. I meditate upon him, for he is the absolute truth.
So here, in the first verse, so Srila Vyasadeva describes first who is the absolute truth. So right in the first word itself, when he says Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya, he is indicating actually who is the absolute truth. So Prabhupada, if you read, Prabhupada has given an elaborate purport. He actually different paragraphs he actually describes different words from the particular verse. That's how Prabhupada writes his purports. Different paragraphs, different sections of the paragraph, he describes different words of the verse. So he says, who is absolute truth? That is, Vasudeva directly indicates Lord Sri Krishna, who is a divine son of Vasudeva and Devaki. And then he gives different evidences from Jiva Goswami's Krishna Sandarbha and from Brahma Samhita and Samaveda Upanishad and Padma Purana. And then this verse describes four features of the absolute truth. The first feature is that Janmadi Asya. The absolute truth is the cause of all causes. So Prabhupada gives an example. The scientists create satellites and throw them into outer space to fly for some time. And although the scientists are far away, still they control the satellites. So similarly, the Supreme Lord, he has created so many billions of universes, and although he is created far away, but he is controlling all these universes. So then, and the second feature of the absolute truth which is being talked about in this verse is that Param. Param means he is actually the supreme controller. So Prabhupada says that, so he describes Param, one who has the greatest intelligence, the supreme controller. He possesses supermost inconceivable energies of all different varieties. And the third feature of the absolute truth is that Anvayat Itarata Chartesh Abhijna. That means he is directly and indirectly conscious of all manifestations. And he is just like a chief engineer of a factory. He is completely aware of everything happening in a factory. Similarly, Krishna is completely aware of everything happening in the universe. Another example he says is like, just like a whatever happens in the body, quickly it becomes immediately known to the embodied. So similarly, the whole universe is like a body of the Supreme Lord, and it becomes immediately, Lord is aware of everything happening in the universe. And the fourth, which is absolute truth, which is being talked about, is Swaraj. That means the Lord is actually completely independent. So in this way, different features of the absolute truth are talked about. And he mentions, like when he talks about Abhigya and Swaraj, he says that he mentions the difference between the Supreme Lord and the living entity. So he gives four examples. Lord Brahma had to meditate on the Lord and had to meditate upon the Supreme Lord in order to create this universe. In this way, Krishna is actually superior to Lord Brahma. The second example he gives is about the scientists. The scientists, although they are actually intelligent, but they cannot manufacture their own brain. In this way, Krishna is superior to scientists. And third, Prabhupada compares Krishna with the Mayavadis. Mayavadis, they perform penance in order to acquire knowledge to become one with God. But they have to perform penance for that. And they are dependent on the rich disciples to build monasteries. But like the Supreme Lord, he does not have to perform any penance to become God. And he is not dependent on any rich people. And the fourth, he compares with atheists like Ravana and Hiranyakashipu. Ravana and Hiranyakashipu, they had to undergo severe penances before they could flout the authority of the Lord. And they were rendered helpless ultimately, and they could not escape death. So in this way, Prabhupada compares the Supreme Lord with the ordinary living entities, Mayavadis, scientists, atheists, and even a great personality like Lord Brahma. And when he talks about Dhimahi, Satyam Param Dhimahi. So the word Dhimahi, it shows that Vyasdev is actually referring to the Gayatri Mantra. He is invoking the Gayatri Mantra. So he is invoking the Gayatri Mantra. So Vyasdev gives the reader the chance to gradually develop self-realization before actually relishing the pastimes of the Lord in the 10th canto. So he is invoking the Gayatri Mantra. The purpose of invoking the Gayatri Mantra is that Vyasdev wants the readers to purify themselves before they can enter into the pastimes of the Lord in the 10th canto. So that is why he has invoked the Gayatri Mantra in the beginning. So by mentioning Dhimahi, Vyasdev tells that the nature of the subject is Brahma Vidya. Since he wants to open for that means like this, nature of subject matter is Brahma Vidya, therefore he invokes Gayatri Mantra. And some other points which Prabhupada is discussing the purport is that he says that he explains how the Supreme Lord is all perfect. For that he says that Krishna actually simply by glancing he impregnates the vast material creation with seeds of spiritual sparks. He does not have to depend on Lakshmi Devi in order to actually create this material universe. And then one may actually raise the question, but God is no more expert than a watchmaker. It's like a watchmaker also, he created a watch, the watch is running. Similarly, God is also, by his glance, he has created, but in the universe, all his planets are working on their own, and may say like that. Then Prabhupada gives a counter argument by saying that, yes, like he says that Lord is actually much more than a watchmaker, because Lord has created male and female forms which combine on their own in order to actually produce more living entities. So the male, it's not, in the case of a watchmaker, every time he has to create a watch, the person has to actually involve. He cannot create a machine which can go on producing watches. For every watch the person has to be involved. But in the case of the Supreme Lord, he has created male and female forms which can actually combine together, which can create more forms. So that is another point which Prabhupada explains. And then Prabhupada gives evidence of Srimad Bhagavatam from other scriptures. He quotes, he says that in Matsya Puran there is evidence of Srimad Bhagavatam. And then he says that other place, Matsya Puran also mentioned that there is Srimad Bhagavatam is that Puran which contains the story of Dhritarasura. And one who makes a gift of this great work on a full moon day goes back to Godhead. And he gives evidence from Padma Puran. In this way, he gives a different evidence of the Srimad Bhagavatam. And another point which he mentions is that he tells about the importance of reading the commentaries written by the previous acharyas. He says that serious student would do well to attempt to go through them to better relish the transcendental message. Serious student would do well to attempt to go through the commentaries of the previous acharyas to better relish the transcendental message. So when we talk about reading the commentaries of the previous acharyas, it's like I was interacting with one person. So he was saying that unpolished rice, it is actually good for health, but you cannot actually immediately start taking unpolished rice. So you may have, suppose we are used to eating polished rice, immediately to switch over to take unpolished rice, it will be actually very difficult, because it takes more digestion capacity, you are not used to it. So first we take polished rice, and then we take maybe semi-polished rice, so then you become used to that. And then you take rice which is even less polished. First you take maybe 90% polished, and then 80% polished, 70% polished, and then finally you take unpolished rice. In fact, because to take unpolished rice it will require more digestion capacity. So similarly, to read the acharya's commentaries, it is like eating unpolished rice. So immediately if you start reading the commentaries of the acharya's, you will not be able to actually digest, you will not be able to appreciate. So in order to develop the capacity to digest the commentaries of the previous acharyas, first we have to read the commentaries of the present acharya thoroughly. So then when we become used to this, then we can actually read the commentaries of the previous acharyas. So sometimes even the commentaries of the present acharya, we may not have the capacity to digest that also. So then first we hear from the devotees. So hearing from the devotees is like polished rice cooked with made in the form of a pulao. It's more attractive. We added some dry fruits and jokes and stories, and it's more attractive. Purpose of the Srila Prabhupada are like just plain polished cooked rice. And purpose of the previous acharyas are like unpolished cooked rice. So we have to actually, Prabhupada is mentioning in the importance of reading the previous acharyas commentary, but we have to actually first give preference to the present acharya Srila Prabhupada, and then when we read this commentaries properly, then we'll be able to actually appreciate the commentaries of the previous acharyas. And then lastly, Prabhupada explains in the purport that he quotes Vishnu Chakra Thakur, and he says that how Srimad Bhagavatam talks about the original and pure sex psychology. Means Srimad Bhagavatam talks about the Adiras, the pure sex psychology. He says that material sex life is a perverted reflection of the original sex life which is experienced in the spiritual world. So suppose when there is a mango tree on the bank of a river, so you see the reflection of the mango in the river. So when you see the reflection of the mango in the river, when you dive into the river to get the mango, how much ever deep you may dive into the river, you will never get the mango. So the material happiness, the material sex life which we see in this world, that is compared to the reflection of the mango. So how much ever we try to get pleasure by that, we will never get happiness. Just like we will never actually get a mango, how much ever deep we may go dive into the river. So materialists are, they are focused in getting the mango from the river. And the Mayavadis are the impersonalists, they understand that there is no mango in the river. But they have only one part of the understanding, but they are not aware that there is some real mango in the tree. They say that there is no mango in the river, but they also say there is nothing called as mango. So that is what they say, there is, they say the absolute truth is impersonal. So because by talking about the impersonal feature of the absolute truth, they have indirectly given stress to the reflection of the mango only. Because of telling there is no mango, so after some time, because the soul by nature wants pleasure, after some time you will only again go dive into the reflection of the mango only. So Prabhupada says, Mayavadis, they have given indirect impetus to the abominable mundane sex life by overstressing the impersonality of the ultimate truth. By saying that absolute truth is impersonal, they have indirectly given overstress to the same reflection of the man. That is why the Mayavadis again come down to perform activities in the material platform, they become philanthropists. But the Srimad Bhagavatam talks about there is the original sex psychology, the original adiras. So that Srimad Bhagavatam talks about how Krishna pastimes with his intimate devotees. So then Prabhupada concludes the purport by saying, one will benefit of Srimad Bhagavatam is that the Bhagavatam will gradually elevate the unbiased reader to the highest perfectional stage of transcendence, and it will enable him to transcend the three modes of material activities. In this way, Prabhupada gives elaborate purport to this verse. So Srila Vishnu Chakravarti, he actually gives five explanations to the first verse. So I will briefly go through this five explanations before we go to the second verse. So he says the first explanation he compares to the first explanation is like a general understanding, like a lamp. And the second explanation is like the sun. And third, fourth and fifth explanation is like the tasty fruit. So first explanation he says, Satyam Param Dhimahi. So let us meditate upon the absolute truth. Who is the cause of creation, maintenance and annihilation? So Janma Adi. So Janma Adi. Adi refers to means etc. So Janma Adi means Satyam Param Dhimahi. Let us meditate on the absolute truth. Who is the cause of Janma, that is creation, and maintenance and annihilation? That is referred by the word Adi. And Anvayad Itarata Chartesh. And let us meditate, and that absolute truth is the absolute truth, who is the cause of creation, maintenance and destruction of this world, as the material and efficient cause. So Anvayad and Anvayad Itarata, this refers to the material cause. And Chair refers to the efficient cause. So material and efficient cause means, yes, like it can also be said as immediate cause and remote cause. So let's suppose the cause of milk is maybe the milkman. That is like the immediate cause. But the efficient cause or the remote cause is the cow. The cause of water is a tap. The immediate cause of water is tap. But the remote cause is, you can say maybe river or lake or clouds or the ocean. This is the remote cause. So Yanvayad Itarasa Charte, like Lord is the material and the efficient cause of everything. And Abhigyan, and he is the only knower of all objects. He is the only knower of all objects. And then he says he is the only knower of all real objects. Abhigya Swaraj. So Swaraj means he is completely independent. So Vishnu Chakravarti, somebody may say the question, You are saying that Lord is the, Krishna is the cause of creation, maintenance and annihilation. But if the Mahatattva and other elements had not arisen, how could the Lord have a body and how could he actually perform creation? If those elements do not arise, then how will the Lord be able to create? So that Father Vishnu Chakravarti says, that's why the Supreme Absolute is called as Swaraj. He does not depend on the elements. He is actually completely independent. He can actually create on his own. So he is one who is the only independent being. And Tene Brahma Hridaya Adi Kavaye. And one may say that actually even Lord Brahma is also has independent powers in creation. What do you see? Only the Supreme Absolute is independent. So for that he says, Tene Brahma Hridaya Adi Kavaye. So Lord Brahma is not independent. It is the Supreme Absolute Truth, Krishna, who revealed the knowledge of the Vedas to Brahma. So then one may ask the question, but it is well known that Lord Brahma did not study the Vedas from someone. There is no recorded information that Lord Brahma studied the Vedas from somebody. So Father, he answers, Dene Brahma Kruda. Yeah, Lord Brahma did not study from somebody. Krishna revealed to Lord Brahma from within his mind, from within his heart. Hridaya Adi Kavaye. Then one may say, maybe perhaps Lord Brahma realized the truth of the Vedas from within his own mind. Just like sometimes a person gets some realization during sleep. I think there were some scientists who got, was like Archimedes or something. And he was meditating or he was sleep, during his sleep or something, he got some Archimedes theorem. So one may say, Lord Brahma might have got the realization of the Vedas just from within his mind on his own. One may say like this. But then it is mentioned, he counteracts by saying, Mukhyanti yat surayaha. No. Because even Lord Brahma does not have the power to realize this knowledge independently. Because even the greatly learned people, they are bewildered about this. Mukhyanti yat surayaha. So then it's mentioned, Tejo Vari Mridam Yata Vinimayo Yatra Tisargo Mrasha. So this talks about the body of the Absolute Truth. So whose body? The body of the Absolute Truth is thought to be made of matter due to illusion, just like a person mistakes fire for water or air for fire or air for water. Tejo Vari Mridam Yata Vinimayo. Just like a person mistakes air for water or fire for air, like etc. So similarly, people actually mistake the body of the Absolute Truth, Krishna, to be material. Yatra Trisargo Mrsha. They mistake this body to be composed of the three modes. Dhamna Svena Sada Nirastha Kuhakam Satyam Param Dhimahi. But who negates all the false arguments, Dhamna Svena Sada Nirastha Kuhakam. But who negates all the false arguments regarding his existence by possessing a transcendental, inconceivable form. Dhamna Svena Sada Nirastha Kohakam means all the false arguments. Nirastha Kohakam. So Sada means he negates all the false arguments for all time to come by revealing his form. Dhamna Svena. By revealing, by possessing a transcendental, inconceivable form. And by the experience of the devotees through his Swarupa Shakti. So through this he negates all the false arguments. So this is the first explanation of the of this verse, which gives a general understanding of the Absolute Truth. And the second explanation, he says this verse directly refers to Krishna. So first he explains that why this verse has to refer to Krishna. So Vishnu Chakravarti quotes a verse in the second canto, 10th chapter, where Shukadeva Goswami describes the 10 topics of the Srimad Bhagavatam. And the 10th topic is the Mukti or Ashraya, the ultimate shelter. He says that Dashamasya Vishuddhyartham Navana Mihalakshana Varnayanti Mahatmana Shrutenartena Chanjasa. Great devotees such as Vidura and Maitreya describe properly the 9 topics in order to impart the highest knowledge of the 10th topic. So they describe the 9 topics in order to describe the 10th topic through the words of the scripture and stories to illustrate their meaning. So because Krishna is the Angi in relation to all other topics, Krishna is the ultimate goal in relation to all other 9 topics. He is the ultimate ashraya. And because Krishna is the chief form of the Lord, and because there is praise for Krishna for his extraordinary qualities, Krishna has to be described in the first verse of the Bhagavatam itself. So having said this, then he says that how the first verse describes him, it describes Krishna. So he says, Satyam Param Dhimahi. Here the word Satya actually refers to Krishna. He says, let us meditate on Krishna, because Satya refers to Krishna, because the demigods, in their prayers to Krishna, when Krishna was there in the womb of Devaki, the 10th canto, they begin the prayer by saying Satya Vratam Satya Param Trisatyam. So there they refer actually Krishna as Satya. So Satya refers to Krishna. Let us meditate on Krishna, who is known as Satya, who through his abode Mathura and by revelation of his form to his devotees, Dhamna Svena Sada Nirastakosam. Dhamna refers to Mathura, who by his abode Mathura and by revelation of his form, to his devotees, he destroys the ignorance concerning himself. Sada Nirastha Kuhakam. Sada Nirastha Kuhakam means destroys the ignorance concerning himself. And whose body appearing to be material to the demons, is not temporary at all. This refers to the third line. That is Tejo Vari Mridam Yatra Krisargo Mrusha. Yatra Krisargo Mrusha. So although his body appearing to be material to the demons, appearing to be the three modes of material nature, Krisargo Mrusha, but it is not temporary at all. It is not temporary at all. And then he described the first two lines, Janma Adi Asya. And that Krishna, Janma Adi, that means like after appearing in Vasudev's house, where did he go? Janma Yasya Anu Ayat. Anu Ayat means he went. Where did he go? Anvayat Itaratasya Arte. He went elsewhere. He went elsewhere, that refers to Vrindavan. Why did he go? Arteshu. Arteshu means knowing how to cheat Kamsa, and secondly, knowing that his pure devotees have appeared in Vrindavan. In order to reciprocate with his pure devotees, he went elsewhere, that is to Vrindavan. One may say, if Krishna is actually going to, in order to reciprocate the devotee's prema in Vrindavan, that means it seems that he is not independent. That means he is dependent on his devotees, one may say. No, he is actually independent. Arteshu Abhigya Swarat. But he is independent. And Tene Brahma Hridaya Adi Kavaye. One may say, if he is actually performing pastimes with his devotees, then that means he is also like maybe an ordinary person. One may say like that. Then that's the next line is great. Tene Brahma Hridaya Adi Kavaye. So he revealed the second line describes the Brahma Vimohan Leela. So Adi Kavi refers to Brahma, but Brahma here refers to the calves and the cowherd boys. So he revealed the calves and the cowherd boys to be Brahma. That means Abdulatruthi himself. To whom? To Adi Kavi, the Lord Brahma. So though he is in all cases independent, he revealed that the cows and the calves were actually the supreme Brahman to Brahma by his will, which bewilders even persons such as Narada. Mukhiyanti Yat Suraya. That means this kind of pastimes of Krishna is bewildering even to personalities like Narada Muni. So this way, the second verse, second explanation of the first verse actually directly explains Krishna. It is said Krishna's birth, how Krishna went to Vrindavan. It is said Brahma Vimohan Leela, and how by revealing his abode and by his form he defeats the ignorance concerning himself, and who is considered to be material by the demons. So like that. And a third explanation. The third explanation, it refers to, it talks about the topmost rasa, Madhurya rasa. So let us meditate on Krishna, Satyam Param Dhimahi, from whom arises Janmadi Asya, from whom arises the topmost rasa, that is conjugal rasa or Madhurya rasa. And how does it arise? Janmadi Asya, Yato Anvayat, Anvayat Itarata. This Madhurya Ras arises by meeting and separation. Anvayat Itarata. Anvayat Itaratascha Arteshu Abhinya Swarat. And this Krishna, he is skillful, he is completely aware of everything related to Rasa. He is completely aware of everything related to Rasa. Arteshu Abhinya and Swarat. Arteshu Abhigya Swarat, and who is actually independent. And Tene Brahma Hridaya Adi Kavaye. So here Adi Kavi refers to Bharat Muni. So Bharat Muni is the author of the Natya Shastras. So it is Krishna who revealed, who conveyed to Bharat Muni everything about Madhurya Ras and all the rasas. Tene Brahma. Brahma refers to Madhurya Ras. Tene Brahma Hridaya Adi Kavi. Adi Kavi refers to Bharat Muni. Who revealed to Bharat Muni everything about this Madhurya Ras. And about which Mukhyanti Yat Suraya. Other poets are bewildered. So the other poets, they are bewildered. They consider that Krishna's exchange of rasa with his devotee is to be like any ordinary materialistic person enjoying some affair with another person. And Damna Svena Tejo Varim Ridam Yatra Trisargo Mrisha. Yatra Trisargo Mrisha means in Krishna alone arises three types of literary meaning. So he says three types of literary meaning are literal, metaphorical, and one more he mentions, and the creation of allusion, suggested meaning. So Yatra, in whom arises the three types of literary meaning in extraordinary form, and Damna Svena Sada Nirastha Kurokam, and which who defeats the withered arguers of the extraordinary influence of the experience of Madhurya Ras. So Damna Svena Sada Nirastha Kurokam means there are some mundane people who say that Krishna's experiencing Madhurya Ras with his devotees, it is just like any ordinary person having affair with another person. It is like saying that bamboo and sugar cane appear to be same. But when you bite a bamboo, you don't get juice, but your teeth will be broken. So such people say like that. But Krishna, by his actually influence and experience of Madhurya Ras, he defeats the withered arguers who argue in that way. This is the third explanation is there. So we will now take up the fourth and fifth explanation, because we want to go to the next verses. So we will go to the next verse. Dharma Projita Kaita Votra Paramo Nirmatsaranam Satam Vedyam Vastavamatra Vastu Shivadam Tapatrayon Mulanam Srimad Bhagavate Mahamunikrute Kimvaparairishvara Sadyo Hridya Varudya Tetra Kritibi Susrushubhistakshana.
Robert Brown, the one who is the need of any other scripture, as soon as one eventually and from this it can hear the message of Krishna. By this culture of knowledge, the Supreme Lord is everything.
So Prabhupada, in his purport, so this verse, as I mentioned, this verse talks about the subject of Srimad Bhagavatam and how that absolute truth is described in the first verse. He becomes captured in the heart of a person when he gives oral reception to Srimad Bhagavatam. Sadhyo Hrit Avarudhya Tetra Kritipi. And also describes what, when we hear Srimad Bhagavatam, what a person can understand. Vedyam Vastavam. So Srimad Bhagavatam talks about the real and permanent thing. What is really Srimad Bhagavatam is focusing on the what is really substantial. Vedyam Vastavam. It is focusing on the essence. And it kicks out all the cheating religion. Dharma Projita. So Dharma Projita means, Ujjita means rejecting. So Pra Ujjita means it completely rejects. So Jiva Goswami in his Sandarbhas, he says, although in the Bhagavad Gita, when Krishna glorifies the four types of people who come to him as Udara Sarva Evaite, four types of people who come to him as like they are magnanimous, Krishna calls us magnanimous. But Jiva Goswami says that even the four kinds of people who come to Krishna, that Jnani, Artho, Jigyasu, Artha, Jnani, they are also actually cheaters. They are practicing a cheating type of religion. And then he says that even if a person has one desire apart from the desire to please Krishna, he is actually practicing a cheating religion. So Dharma Projita Kaita Votra, like Srimad Bhagavatam kicks out all cheating religion, means like it kicks out even a person who has got only one desire apart from the desire to please Krishna. Even that is also considered cheating religion from the point of view of Srimad Bhagavatam. So this is explained in the Bhakti Sandarbha. So that we can see that when Srimad Bhagavatam is establishing what is true religion, it is not making any compromise. It kicks out all cheating religion, so much so that it actually condemns even a person who has one desire apart from the desire to please Krishna as a cheater. So when it comes to Siddhanta, one cannot make any compromise. But the same Srimad Bhagavatam, the second canto of Shubhadeva Goswami says, Akama Sarva Kamova Moksha Kama Udharati. Whether you have no desire, either you are filled with all desires, either you are desire for liberation, you perform intense devotional service to Krishna. So when it comes to Siddhanta, Bhagavatam is not making any compromise. But sometimes when we only focus on Siddhanta, but people might get discouraged. This is not practice only, Bhagavatam is not meant for. But the same Bhagavatam is encouraging everyone to take the devotional service. Because when a person comes in contact with the supreme good, that is devotional service to Krishna, he will actually eventually become purified. So there has to be enlightenment and that has to be accompanied with encouragement. So when we are enlightening, we cannot compromise with Siddhanta. But we only enlighten without encouraging, then it will not be of any use. People may not be inspired to take to the process. And if we only encourage, speaking some goody-goody words, and if we are not actually enlightening, then that is also of not use. Because so many institutions, they actually speak very goody-goody language, they try to encourage, but then there is no substance in there, there is no substance of philosophy. So Bhagavatam is establishing the Siddhanta. At the same time, Bhagavatam is encouraging all kinds of people to take the devotional service. So, so here we see, so Prabhupada in his purport, he talks about what is Dharma. So first he talks about that human life begins when religion begins. And then he talks about Kaitava Dharma. Kaitava Dharma means any dharma which has an aim as sense gratification. In the lowest stages of human civilization, there is competition to lord it over material nature, and there is rivalry to satisfy the senses. So like that he talks about. And then he says that so people are interested in sense gratification. In order to enjoy sense gratification, they need economic gains. And they try to gain economic gains, they try to gain artha either by practicing dharma or by performing sinful activities. So if material gains are obtainable in other ways, then religion is neglected. So religion is basically, people perform religion for economic gains. So that religion which you perform for economic gains, that is actually cheating religion. And then he explained what the Vedas contain. So Vedas prescribe rules and regulations to perform the four activities so that there is no undue competition for sense gratification. So Vedas give different rules and regulations for how to perform dharma, artha, kama and moksha, so that there is no undue competition for sense gratification. So now we see in Kali Yuga, like, there is so much of competition. For any engineering college or medical college, like, people are like, there is so much of pressure, so much of competition that people are finding it difficult to take the stress. But the Vedas actually give method to enjoy sense gratification in an organic manner. By practicing dharma. So then he says, so dharma, artha, kama, moksha are given in the Vedas. But how is Srimad Bhagavatam different from the Vedas? And then he explains who is qualified to understand Srimad Bhagavatam. So the position of Srimad Bhagavatam versus the Vedas is that, so Srimad Bhagavatam is transcendental to all sense gratificatory activities. But Vedas talk about, give different rules and regulations how to enjoy sense gratification. So Bhagavatam is transcendental to all sense gratificatory activities. So then he explains who is qualified to understand Srimad Bhagavatam. So there he mentions two points, especially this word Nirmatsarana and Kritibhi. Nirmatsarana means those who are completely non-envious. So the one who is transcendental to competitive sense gratification, one who is non-envious, and one who has performed, one who is accomplished in devotional service, Kritibhi, or one who has performed many pious deeds. So here the pious deeds refer to actually spiritual activities. They can actually, when they actually hear Srimad Bhagavatam, then the Supreme Lord becomes immediately captured in the heart of a devotee. So here, when Prabhupada talks about this word Nirmat Sarana, he gives a beautiful point. He says that the saintly people, so Bhagavatam is meant for Nirmat Sarana, those who are non-envious. So such people, they are free from material envy, and they are not only free from material envy, but they are well-wishers of everyone. And not only they are well-wishers of everyone, but they strive to establish competition-less society. So Prabhupada is talking about three degrees of non-enviousness. So in one degree, on a lower level, it means simply being free from material envy, not hating somebody. But on a more higher level, on a more positive note, you are actually desiring the welfare of others. But even on a higher level, it means you are working hard to establish a competition-less society. So in India, you will see there are so many sadhus. So they may be non-envious, or some may be like well-wishers of others. But how many people worked hard to establish a competition-less society? So this actually distinguishes Srila Prabhupada from others, who actually travelled all over the world to establish a competition-less society. So that is the three degrees of non-enviousness. So Nirmat Sarana. And So then, so there are a few important points which I would like to highlight from Vishnu Shabdam Parkur, because it's a very important verse. So here, he says that Srimad Bhagavatam shows what is beneficial and unbeneficial for the jiva. And since it has discerned with conviction the root of all benefit, it laments for the great diversity of recommendations of what is beneficial and unbeneficial for the jiva. So, by kicking out all the various cheating religions, it is lamenting for all the great diversity of recommendations. And then Vishnu Chakravarti says that Sadhyo Hrid Srimat means most auspicious. And he says that by giving oral reception to Srimad Bhagavatam, says that by giving oral reception to Srimad Bhagavatam, the Supreme Lord becomes captured in the heart of a devotee. Sadhyo Hridi. It becomes immediately captured. So if we see in the Gita, Krishna in so many verses, he talks about two important qualifications for understanding Gita. He talks about faith and non-enviousness. If for example he says that Yeme Matam Idam Nityam Anutishanti Manava Shraddha Vantu Anasuyantu, the 3.31, and then the 9.1 he says, because you are non-envious, I am giving this most confidential knowledge. And then Ashraddha Dana Purusha, those who are faithless, they fall down. In 4th chapter he says that Agyasya Ashraddha Dhanasya, those who are faithless, they cannot get this knowledge. 18th chapter he says that one who hears this message with faith and without envy, they will achieve a supreme abode. Shraddhavan anuvitsanuhuyase shuniyal apiyonaraha. So he talks about these two qualifications, faith and non-enviousness. So Vishnu Chakravarti says that although it is mentioned Nirmatsaranam refers to actually this quality of being non-enviousness, or it can also be translated as those who are selfless, because envy will arise whenever a person has a selfish desire. So those who are non-envious are basically those who are selfless. So one qualification which is mentioned is Nirmatsaranam, and the quality of faith is described by the word Kritibi. So Kritibi means, so Prabhupada says, those who are accomplished in devotional service. Kritibi means those who are accomplished. So Kritibi refers to this quality of faith, accomplished persons. It means like in order to perform devotional activities again and again, that means you don't have to have faith. That's why Kritibi refers to faith. So although these two qualifications are mentioned, but Vishnu Chakravarti says, even if a person is actually selfish, if a person is envious, and even if a person is faithless, still when a person gives oral reception to the message of Srimad Bhagavatam, he can actually obtain this result of capturing the heart, Lord in the heart. So what does it mean, capturing the Lord in the heart? So Lord becomes captured in the heart only when a person reaches the stage of prema. When Rupa Goswami talks about the six characteristics of pure devotional service, Kleshagni Shubhada Moksha Lagudabhri Sudurlabha, the last two characteristics that Sandarananda Vishayatman Sri Krishna Akarshini. So these two are manifest in the stage of prema, Sri Krishna Akarshini. So Lord becomes captured only when a person attains prema. So Sadhyo Hrid Avartite, that means like by giving oral reception to Srimad Bhagavatam, one can attain prema by which one can capture the Supreme Lord in the heart. And although it is mentioned, the qualification is one has to be non-envious and faithful, But Vishnu Chakravarti says, even if a person is faithless and if he is actually envious or selfish, still a person can achieve this result with a delay. But those who are faithful and non-envious, one can achieve this result immediately. But those who do not have this qualification, one can still achieve the result but with a delay. So because why he is saying is that, he quotes a verse from Rupa Goswami's Bhakti Rasam Sindhu. So Rupa Goswami talks about the 64 items and then he explains out of the 64 items, the 5 items are the most important. Chanting of the holy names, hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, serving the devotees and going to Mathura, Vrindavan and worshipping the deities. They are the most important because they can elevate a person to the stage of Bhava, the stage of love of Godhead, even though a person is faithless. That means a person can come to the stage of PhD right from LKG. So faith is actually the qualification, as I mentioned. So many places in the Gita, Krishna explains faith as the qualification. Krishna says, Ashradhadana Purusha. Those who are faithless, they will fall down. He says, even when Krishna talks about in 10.10, Tesham Sadata Yuktana. So those who are engaged in my devotional service with love and constantly, to such a person, I give the intelligence by which they can come to me. But he never mentioned that I give the faith to a person. If a person is faithful, but if he does not have the intelligence, Krishna will give the intelligence. But if a person is intelligent, but if he is lacking faith, but Krishna will not give the faith because Krishna expects a person to develop faith. So faith is mentioned as a qualification by Krishna. But although Krishna in his words is mentioning faith as a qualification, but the process of bhakti is more merciful than Krishna. Krishna is putting faith as a qualification, but the process of bhakti devi is more merciful than Krishna. So that is why Rupa Goswami mentions the last 5 items are inconceivable and astonishing power. Says, what to speak of faith where there is just a slight relationship with these five items of devotional service which I mentioned. When there is a slight relationship with these 5 items, even without faith, one can develop the stage of, one can come to the stage of bhava, provided one is free from offenses. So that is why, so this power of Srimad Bhagavatam is explained in this verse, that even if a person, so Vishnu Chakravarti says that Krishna enters the hearts of even those who have suddenly developed the desire to hear, even from the moment they begin to hear. Since they develop the desire to hear even before having faith, it means that they develop prema simply by hearing Bhagavatam. So what does it mean is that if a person, even without having faith, if a person can develop prema by hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, what to speak of when a person hears Srimad Bhagavatam with faith? And how much more benefit one will have? So that is the implication given here. So and another thing which Vishnu Chakravarti explains is that Tat Kshanat. Tat Kshanat means that Krishna, because of his great happiness, because of his merriment, he becomes caught in the heart of a devotee. Means like when a devotee hears Srimad Bhagavatam, Krishna becomes so joyful, out of his joy, he actually becomes caught in the heart of a devotee. And so if you see this verse, Vyasadeva is using the word atra 3 times. Dharma projita kaitavo atra. Kaitavotra paramo nirmasaranam satam. Vedyam vastavam atra vastu shivadam. So atra is mentioned 3 times. So why is mentioned 3 times? See, whenever a person is repeating, there is an intention behind it. He says that repetition of atra is employed for emphasis. In this scripture and not in any other scripture, the Lord becomes controlled by the devotees. And in this scripture and not in any other work, the substantial object is presented. And in this scripture and not in any other work, the highest dharma which rejects all cheating is presented. And all other yogas are excluded in this work alone. In this way, that is the implication of using the word atra so many times. And and another point from Prabhupada's purport. So Prabhupada says here, the process of hearing Srimad Bhagavatam is susrushu. One should be submissive and there should not be a challenging attitude, and one should be anxious to hear. And desire to sincerely hear is the first qualification. And then he mentions that process is simple but the application is difficult. This purport. The process is simple, the application is difficult. Without going through the Vedic stages, one can be lifted immediately to the position of Paramahamsa by agreeing to receive this message. Process is simple but application is difficult. That means application, just like we have pure mathematics and applied mathematics. Like pure mathematics deals with, yes, you know the theorems of the mathematics, the different stuff. But they will not be relevant to most people unless you teach them how to apply in different subjects of engineering. So one is just simply having knowledge is not sufficient. One should know how to apply in different circumstances. Like for example, like there is one statement of Raghunath Swami Maharaj. He mentions that knowledge is not simply, real knowledge is not simply speaking eloquently, but real knowledge is the capacity to discriminate between what is favorable for devotional service and what is unfavorable for devotional service. So that basically relates with application. So in regards to application, you have to know how to apply this particular principle in this circumstance. Like for example, one of the principles is like not associating with non-devotees, keeping away the association of materialistic people. So like Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu kept a distance from Prataprudra Maharaj. So many devotees, they approached Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to give an audience to Prataprudra Maharaj. But Mahaprabhu actually refused to give audience. But Srila Prabhupada, he told his followers to arrange a meeting with Morarji Desai. He told his followers to arrange a meeting with, say, Indira Gandhi. So when he felt that, oh, in this case it will be favorable for the preaching of Krishna consciousness, although the principle is that, but he applied the principle in a different way, understanding what will be favorable in a particular circumstance. So we will go to the next verse. There are other points
निगमकल्पतरोर्गलितं फलं शुकमुकात् अमृतद्रव संयुतं पिबत भागवतं रसमालयं मुहुरहो रसिका भुवि बाहुका.
So, in the third verse, the sweetness of the Srimad Bhagavatam is described. Or the super excellent position of the Srimad Bhagavatam is described. So, in this verse, Srimad Bhagavatam is explained as a ripened fruit of the tree of the Vedic knowledge. The Vedas are compared to the desired tree, Kalpataru. And the ripened fruit of the tree of the Vedic knowledge, which has fallen from the tree of the Vedic knowledge, is actually Srimad Bhagavatam. And Vyasadeva is inviting everyone to release this fruit. Pibata Bhagavatam Prasamalayam. It is only composed of rasa, mugurapu rasika bhuvi bhavuka. So, in the first verse, the word uses satyam param dhimahi. So, satyam param, it refers to the absolute truth. When it comes to absolute truth, we have to meditate upon it. Param dhimahi. So, we have to meditate on tattva, but when it comes to rasa, we have to release rasa. So, many times when it comes to rasa, we try to analyze. Like suppose, a simple example, like it's a cooking. Like when it comes to like cooking recipes, so you may have to like memorize. You may have to like memorize like what are the different recipes. But when it comes to the final product, rasgulla, so that you just have to simply relish it. So you can't analyze that, what is the diameter of the rasgulla, etc. So when it comes to pastimes of the Lord, we have to relish the pastimes. Of course, we can also get different lessons from the pastimes also. But we cannot too much analyze the pastimes. Yeah. So we should not try to bring in tattva where rasa is involved. We should not try to analyze the rasa. So that's why you think Pibata Bhagavatam Rasamale Mukuraho Rasika Bhuvi Bhavuka. Like once Prabhupada was saying, Prabhupada was describing about women. He was saying, women with a slender waist are beautiful. Then one devotee, I just heard from another, I don't know where this pastime is, but one devotee was saying. So one devotee asked Prabhupada, but Prabhupada, we are not supposed to think about women because there is an obstacle. So Prabhupada said, right now we are just simply talking about pure sense gratification. So what I am saying is that when it comes to philosophy, that time we discuss philosophy, try to analyze. But Prabhupada is trying to make a point. We are just talking about like what is pure sense gratification. When it comes to rasa, we cannot actually analyze, we just have to release the rasa. So but in order to release rasa, one has to be deeply rooted in tattva. Unless one is deeply rooted in tattva, one cannot release rasa. So what are the tattvas which one should be rooted? First thing is like we have to be rooted in the tattva that we are not the body. And then we have to understand, we have to be rooted in the tattva about the greatness of the Lord, greatness of the Purusha avatars of the Lord, greatness of we have to hear about the Srishti Leela of the Lord. We have to be rooted in these tattvas of the Lord. We have to be rooted in the activity, we have to be rooted in the tattva in regards to incarnations of the Lord. So then after being rooted in these tattva, then we can actually truly relish rasa. See, tattva is like engine of a car. So when people first invented car, first they actually invented the engine. And then they tried to actually improvise the engine. And then later they actually put the air condition of the car. So if you have a car which has an air condition, but there is no engine, so there is no use of that car. So, if we are not rooted in tattva, without being rooted in tattva, if we simply try to relish rasa, we cannot actually truly relish. It can actually lead to indigestion. Of course, Krishna's pastimes will purify definitely, but the proper way is first we have to be rooted in tattva. So, first actually the engine is fit, and then more comfort is added by actually fitting air condition. And then after being rooted in tattva, we try to release rasa. So if we see even, for example, in the Bhagavad Gita also, the Baldevadiya Bhushan's purports of Prabhupada, they are like engine. They mainly talk about tattva. Vishnu Chakravarti's purports of Bhagavad Gita, many times he brings the rasa aspect, that's like a air condition. So here, Pibata Bhagavatam Rasamalayam. So, Krishna Chakravarti says, usually fruits have got some inferior parts like a skin or a seed. But this particular fruit has got no inferior part. It is only filled with sweet juice. It is only composed of rasa alone. There is no, it is only composed of rasa. So then he says that so galitam means that this fruit has fallen down on its own accord when ripened on the tree, not by force. So even after falling from a, so this fruit has fallen down on its own, and after it has fallen down, it has not got broken. And it cannot be, he says that it cannot be taken by force. Although fruit is there in the tree, it cannot be taken by force. And although it has fallen down, it has not broken. And then he says that this fruit has become even more sweet because of being touched by the lips of Shukadeva Goswami. Shukamukat Amrita Drava Samyutam. The Prabhupada explained that Shukadeva Goswami is not famous for his ability to recite like a parrot, but Shukadeva Goswami is famous for his ability to present Srimad Bhagavatam for all classes of men. In such a way that all classes of men can relate to it. So that is the glory of Shukadeva Goswami, because it's like a parrot when they actually taste the fruit. After that, actually the fruit becomes even more tasteful. You buy actually a peru or something. People especially look for the mark of the bird. Those fruits are even more tasteful. So Prabhupada in his purport, he talks about the position of Srimad Bhagavatam. Vedas are comparatively desiratory. Vedas deal with the mundane necessities as well as spiritual realization. The mundane necessities means everything that will be required to keep the body and soul together. And in spiritual realization, he says the highest spiritual realization is knowledge that the Supreme Personality of Godhead is the reservoir of all rasas. Raso vai saha. The Supreme Lord, who is actually the personification of all rasas, this is the highest spiritual realization. And rasam evayam labdvanandi bhavati. Means like by obtaining the Supreme Lord, one attains the highest bliss. So this verse is quoted from the Taittiriya Upanishad. And the Taittiriya Upanishad, Vishwanatha Chakravarti quotes a verse after this particular verse, and then he says there is nothing further to be talked about the subject matter of bliss. That means what is he saying is that the highest bliss which a person can ever obtain is by coming in contact with the Supreme Lord. So he says raso vai saha, the Supreme Absolute Truth Krishna is the personification of rasa. And then he says, rasam evayam labdvananti bhavati. By obtaining this absolute truth, a person obtains bliss. And then the third statement he makes is that there cannot be any higher bliss than this particular bliss by coming in contact with Krishna. So this is what this is explained in the purport. The highest spiritual realization is the knowledge of the personality of God, is the personification of all rasa. Then Prabhupada talks 8 points about rasa. The first thing he gives a definition of a rasa. So one definition he gives is that every living entity beginning from Brahma to ant desires to relish some sort of taste derived from sense perception, and these sense pleasures are called rasa. In fact, in another place in the Bhagavatam, the definition of rasa is given as that which is beyond imagination, heavy with wonder and relished in the heart, shining with goodness, is known as rasa. That which is beyond imagination, heavy with wonder and realized in the heart, or relished in the heart, shining with goodness, is known as rasa. So here Prabhupada gives a simple definition of rasa. So rasa is basically some sort of taste derived from sense perception. Then he gives 12 types of rasa, the 5 primary rasas and 7 secondary rasas. And then he talks about the dynamics of rasa. So rasa is engage rasa. Say that sum total of all these 12 rasas is called as love or affection. And this rasa is exchanged only between species of is exchanged only between same species, between man and woman, but not with between man and animal. It is exchanged between same species, man and man, and animal and animal. And then he explained the origin of rasa is that the origin of rasa is it is between the living entity and the Supreme Pole, the Supreme Personality of God. Especially when you read Nectar of Devotion preface, Prabhupada writes a beautiful point. He says every person is actually looking for rasa. Every person is looking for this rasa, affection. And when the loving propensity, everyone wants to love and to be loved. When the loving propensity expands, it expands to one's family, or to community, or to humanity, or the whole nation, or the entire living entities. And then he explains, but even if a person loves all the living entities, but until a person comes to the point of loving Krishna, one will be dissatisfied. Such a profound statement, Prabhupada says that even the loving propensity expands like a ray of light, but even the loving propensity expands the whole of humanity and whole of actually all the living entities, but till a person comes to the point of loving Krishna, one will be dissatisfied. It means whether it is selfishness or selflessness, without connection to Krishna, it will lead to only dissatisfaction. Even if the selflessness extends to the whole, all the living entities, but till the point of loving Krishna, it will be actually dissatisfaction. So the origin of rasa is actually between the living entity and the Supreme Lord. Then Prabhupada explained, the result of this rasa is that when a person associates with the Supreme Lord and exchanges rasa with him, then a person gets happiness. The lack of revival of this rasa with Krishna leads to dissatisfaction. So then he talks about the need to understand this rasa. What is the need to understand rasa? That when a person attains full knowledge of different rasas, then a person can understand the false representative of the original rasas reflected in the material world. It's like only when you understand the original mangoes, then you understand, oh, these are all actually false mangoes. And the second point he tells about in order to the need to understand rasa is that only when there is knowledge of rasa, we will develop a desire to release this original rasa. Then only we develop a desire to release this original rasa. Then he tells, what is the method or the process to release this rasa? Here he actually tells the point that this rasa, which with the Supreme Personality of Godhead, can be experienced by giving oral reception to the messages of Srimad Bhagavatam. We can experience this, we can release this rasa by reading Srimad Bhagavatam. So that is what he explained with respect to rasa. So Vishwan Shabhatagar explains when he talks about rasam alayam, pibata bhagavatam rasam alayam. So he says that the word alayam means this, the fruit of the Srimad Bhagavatam, it extends beyond this type, beyond all the types of liberation. So laya refers to different liberation. Alayam means it extends beyond all the sayujya, salokya, sarupya, all these five types of liberation. And one should drink this rasa until one develops the 8 symptoms up to the final one. There are 8 symptoms of ecstasy. One should release this until one develops the eighth symptom, that is called fainting or pralaya. And though one will not be able to drink the nectar when one is fainted, when a person actually develops the eighth symptom, then a person faints, one will not be able to drink it. But after that fainting goes away, when he gets up, again one continues to relish, continues to drink. So in this way, one cannot give up drinking. So it's like some esoteric meaning he gives. So now we will go to the next verse. नैमिषे अनिमिषक्षेत्रे ऋषयः शौनकादय सत्रं स्वर्गाय लोकाय सहस्रसममासत. So here, now the stages of Naimisharanya they are described. So Naimisha refers to Naimisharanya. So when Brahmaji created a wheel in his mind, and then he threw that wheel, and then he said, wherever that wheel falls off, that place will be suitable for performing sacrifices. So the place where the wheel fell off, Naimi means wheel. The place where the wheel fell up, that place refers to Naimisha. And because that was a forest, it becomes Naimisha Aranya. So when the Lord, as I mentioned, the Lord appears in the forest, he appears in the forest of Naimisha Aranya. And Animisha Kshetri means it is the place of Lord Vishnu. So one of the name of Lord Vishnu is actually Animisha, one who does not blink his eyes. So even in the Vishnu Sahasranam, this verse comes. And Nimisho Animisha Shragvi Vachaspati Udharati. The fifth canto, Agni, there tells to Purva Chitti that Vishnu Kalas Animishon Makarocha Karano. Your jewel earrings resemble two brilliant sharks with unblinking eyes like those of Vishnu. So, because Lord Vishnu has unblinking eyes, he is called as Animisha. And he also blinks his eyes because he doesn't want to focus on the faults of the devotees. And he, when a devotee is performing devotional service, he doesn't blink his eyes. Animisha. So Animisha Kshetri means the place of Lord Vishnu. So the sages headed by Shaunaka Rishi, they assembled in Naimisharanya in order to perform a sacrifice for 1,000 years in order to get elevated to heaven. Satram Swargaya Lokaya. So one meaning is that in order to go to heavenly planets, they assembled there to perform a sacrifice. But Swargaya can also refer to that Lord who is glorified in the heavenly planets. That is Lord Vishnu. So Swargaya refers to Lord Vishnu. Then Lokaya means to go to the planet of Lord Vishnu. In other meaning is that they assembled in the place of Naimisharanya in order to perform a sacrifice, in order to go to the planet of Lord Vishnu. That is like another meaning. So another thing which Vishnu Chakrabarti says is that he says that the Shaunakadi Rishis, initially they had a desire to go to heavenly planets, but because of their association with Suta Goswami, they became inquisitive, and they developed a taste for bhakti. They developed a taste for bhakti, and they are actually inquiring from him about devotional service. So this is the power of association of a devotee. So here Prabhupada writes a very beautiful point about Rishi. He mentioned three points about a Rishi. Rishi means those who are always anxious to do good to people. And secondly, they know how to do good to people. And thirdly, at the risk of personal inconvenience, they are always engaged in the service of the Lord for the good of the people. So one is they have a concern, and secondly, they know how to do good. And the third is they actually do good even at the risk of personal inconvenience.
So if we see that Rishi is not described in terms of someone who has a beard or some jata, it is described in terms of the qualities. So sometimes, like for example, if we see these three qualities, we can see these three qualities through the example of Narada Muni. So Narada Muni, especially this quality of how you are anxious, is concerned to do good, that is exhibited in how Narada Muni delivered Kailash. Because in the case of Kailash, Narada Muni had to go again and again to Kailash. He was procrastinating in order to actually to preach to a person who is like very reluctant and stubborn. You have the extreme concern to go again and again to the person. So this quality of is exhibited profoundly by Narada Muni in his preaching to Kailash. And Narada Muni's quality of how he knows exactly how to preach to a person, well, it is exhibited in many places. We can say the example of how he preached to Harieshwas by giving a riddle. And third quality of how Narada Muni took a risk, at the risk of personal inconvenience, how he preached to people, is that he went to preach to even Daksha Prajapati. Daksha Prajapati was such a person, even when Lord Shiva did not stand up, he became so angry and cursed Daksha Prajapati, Lord Shiva. But Narada Muni is going to preach to him. It's a great risk. So you can see these three qualities exhibited by Narada Muni. And when we say, when we talk about concern, one is concern and another is knowing how to do good. So if we see in terms of preaching, so sometimes when we are preaching, when heart overtakes head, means like we have a concern, but we don't know how to do good. That means the heart overtakes the head. That means we are actually in the sentimental platform. They're like philanthropists, altruists, trying to save the dress of a drowning person. And when head overtakes the heart, then it is merely as some kind of a scholar giving a presentation. There is no concern, it's just only giving gyan. But real preacher is a combination of head as well as the heart. He has a concern, but he also knows how to do good. So in our case, at least we may not be rishis, but at least we can assist the rishis who are doing good. We may not be rishis, but we can assist Srila Prabhupada and his mission and his representatives to do good to people. The next verse.
तयेकदा तु मुनय प्रातर हुतहुताग्नय सत्कृतं सूतमासीनं प्रपर्चुर इदमादरात्.
So here Prabhupada talks about how the sages assembled to actually inquire from Suta Goswami. So here we see Prabhupada gives a beautiful definition of a Goswami. He mentions Goswami means all bona fide representatives in the disciplic succession of Vyasadeva are Goswamis. And then he mentions Goswamis restrain all their senses. With respect to gross sense control, Goswami's restrain all their senses. And then he mentions another point, that the Goswamis, they stick to the path made by the previous acharyas. That means, like, we may be sense controlled in terms of like eating in a regulated manner, etc. But if we are following some other path, then we are not Goswami. Like subtle sense control. Like for a simple example, we may be like very highly regulated, but suppose this morning program is given by Srila Prabhupada. But instead of following the program given by Srila Prabhupada, if we are following some other program from our own this one, that means
it's not a sign of a Goswami. So they stick to the path made by the previous acharyas. And another point he makes, explains is that Goswamis do not deliver lectures capriciously. They do not deliver lectures capriciously, but they execute their services most carefully, following their predecessors who delivered the spiritual message unbroken to them. They do not deliver lectures capriciously. That means they do not jump into some pastimes of the Lord when there are some new people. Really, they are not like professional Bhagavatam reciters. Like in the 10th canto, when Shukadeva Goswami gives a description of the rainy season and autumn season, he says during the rainy season, the water canals in the mountains, they constantly give out water. Water constantly flows from the water canals. But in the autumn season, the water canals, like sometimes water flows, sometimes water does not flow. So he says that the water canals in the rainy season, they are compared to the professional Bhagavatam reciters. Irrespective of who is sitting in the audience, they start with maybe Gopi Gita or some Ras Leela or something. Irrespective of who is there, there is a new programmer. So that is a but the self-realized spiritual master, they are compared to the water canals in the autumn season. They sometimes they speak and sometimes they do not speak. It's like sometimes water flows from the water canal, sometimes there is no water. So that is the attitude of a Goswami. They do not deliver lectures capriciously. So next verse. Tvaya kalu puranani setihasani chanaga akhyatan apyadhitani dharma shastrani yanyuta. So the 6 to 8 verse, 3 verses, 6, 7 and 8, the sages, they tell about the qualification of Sutta Goswami. They glorify Sutta Goswami. Before actually asking questions, they glorify Sutta Goswami by how he possesses different qualities, different qualifications. So therefore they are glorifying him. The first qualification they mention is that you are actually anagar, you are sinless. And then they mentioned you have scrutinizingly studied the different Puranas and the Itihasas, Akhyatan Adhitani and Dharma Shastras. Dharma Shastras also. So one first qualification is you are sinless. So this is one of the important qualification. So that Rajnath Swami Maharaj was telling the class. Only once Prabhupada came to New Vrindavan, that he was making some sandesh. He had made a sandesh everything, but what was that one problem, that instead of sugar he had put salt. So you are making sandesh exactly according to the proper procedure, say, according to ISO standards, according to following all cleanliness, everything perfect, but except for sugar you are putting salt, then nobody will take that sandesh. So similarly, so you are saying that if a person is expert in delivery of the lectures, he is learned, highly learned, he can speak eloquently, and all the good material qualifications are there, but if the character is not proper, then people will not want to hear from you. Just like, although everything is proper in sandesh, except for sugar, salt is there, then nobody will take the sandesh. So the character is the most important thing for the speaker. That's why they are saying, Tvaya kalu puranani setihasani chanaga. So, and then they say, that you have scrutinizingly studied all the scriptures. So Prabhupada explains here that your students only heard and also you explained to others. So Prabhupada says here, to hear and explain them is more important than merely reading them. So here is another classic statement of Prabhupada. To hear and explain them is more important than merely reading them. So one can assimilate the knowledge of the revealed scriptures only by hearing and explaining. And then he says, what is the qualification to explain? Only one who has properly grasped the transcendental subject from the right source by submissive hearing can properly explain the subject. So even Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in his conversation with Keshav Kashmiri, when Keshav Kashmiri said, what do you know about the literary embellishments? The Mahaprabhu replied, Nahi padi alankara kariyachi saram. I have not studied the literary embellishments, but I have heard about the literary embellishments. Sate ehi shloke deki bahu dosharo. Because I have heard about literary embellishments, I can see that the shloka which you have composed has many faults. So Prabhupada writes here that hearing is more important than directly studying or perceiving. If one is expert in hearing and hears from the right source, then his knowledge is immediately perfect. And then he mentions that all Vedic knowledge is based on the principle that one must approach a bona fide spiritual master and hear from the authoritative statements of the Vedas. So therefore, hearing and explaining is very important. So here we see that Sutta Goswami himself is scrutinizingly studied the scriptures, he has heard and then explained for a long time. But in comparison, his father, Romaharshan Sutta, is explained in the 10th canto, Rishir Bhagavato Bhutva Shishyo Dikya Bhagunicha Setihasa Puranani Dharma Shastrani Sarvata. So there also it is explained, Romaharshan Sutta, he has studied all the Puranas, Itihasas and Dharma Shastras. But the disqualification in Romaharshan Sutta is that Adantasya Abhinitasya Vrita Pandita Manidaha. So Balaramji is saying, but although he has studied all these things, but these studies have not produced good qualities in him. He is not self-controlled, he is not humble, and he has no good qualities. Nagunaya Bhavantisma Natasyeva Ajitatmanaha. So he is speaking of the scriptures, it's like an actor playing a role. In that sense, that the contrast between Sutta Goswami and Romaharshan Sutta. Then the next verse.
Yani Veda Vidam Sreshta Bhagavan Bhagarayanaha Anyesha Munaya Sutta Paravaravido Viduhu.
So we can see, Prabhupada says here, one can sit on the Vyasasana only after being conversant in all systems of philosophy, so that one can present fully the theistic views of the Bhagavatam in defense of all other systems. So here, the third qualification of Sutta Goswami is explained in the sages, that is, systematic training in Vedanta and the six systems of philosophy. So, Prabhupada is saying this is a qualification for sitting at the Vyasasana. So, one that Gaurangpur was explaining that every philosophy has got five aspects. The starting point, the path, the obstacles, the destination, and the experience you get after reaching the destination. So, he mentioned that we may not know intricate details of the other philosophies, but if we know that these five things of the other philosophies, that means if we know what is the starting point, what is the path of the other philosophy, what is the destination, what will the experience you will get by following that path, and that is sufficient. So you don't have to know the details of the other philosophy, just know these points of other philosophy. The next verse.
Vetatvam samya tatsarvam tatvatas tat anugrahat gruya snigdasya shishyasya guravo gukhyam apyuta.
So here they talk about the fourth qualification of Suta Goswami, that he is submissive to his spiritual master. Because you are submissive to your spiritual master, definitely your spiritual master must have given the confidential knowledge to you. So therefore, please explain that to us. That is the implication of them. So, Bruya Snigdasya Shishyasya. So this word also comes other places, like the first and the 16th chapter, it is described Signeshu Pandushu Sarathya. Sarathya Parshada Sevan Satya Dashatya, like Signeshu Pandushu. The Pandavas, because they were malleable to the will of the Lord, Krishna was ready to help Pandavas in any way, as a guru, as a chariot driver, as a friend, in any way. So Snigdeshu Pandushu means one who is malleable to carry out the will of the spiritual master or the Supreme Lord. That's a Prabhupada. The secret of success in spiritual life is in satisfying the spiritual master and thereby getting his sincere blessings. So in one sense, in this verse, the sages, they talk about the spiritual qualities of the Suta Goswami. The previous two verses, they talk about his material qualities. So usually, when a devotee glorifies other person, when they glorify material qualities, they will always glorify the spiritual qualities also. So when they glorify, even when they see the glorify the material qualities, they see that in relation with Krishna. To have the qualification of being learned in the scriptures, that is very rare. And to have the qualification of being submissive to the spiritual master, that is also very rare. But to have both the qualification is even more rare. So scholarship and submissiveness go ill together. But to have both the qualities, scholarship and submissiveness, that is actually very rare. So that's what they are talking about here. So next verse.
Tatra tatranjushayushman bhavata yadvinishchitam pumsam yekanta tashreyas tanna shamsitu marhasi.
So here they ask the first question. They say that please tell us in easy terms, anjasa, and ekantata. Ekantata means and thoroughly the highest object for mankind, shreya, the highest object of mankind, that you have discerned in all the scriptures. Sometimes when you have to explain something easily, you may miss out something. When you try to explain in a complete manner, then people may not be able to, it may be difficult for people to accept it. So the sages are saying, please explain easily and also in easy terms and also thoroughly. What is the highest mankind, highest object of mankind that you discerned in all the scriptures? So we'll go to the next verse. So then Suta Goswami says, in response, but you should hear everything from my mouth. Why are you asking only selectively which is the highest object which you have discerned? You should hear everything from my mouth. Then further the sages are saying, because the people of Kali Yuga have these disqualifications, therefore you just tell the highest object of mankind in easy terms. Then they talk about the qualifications, the qualities of people of Kali Yuga. Prayen alpayushasabhya kala vasmin yugejana manda sumanda matayo manda bhagya vyupadrita. So here we say, Vishnu Shagotapu says that sages are explaining, we want to actually, they say that in Kali Yuga, what, the reason why we want to know what is the ultimate good which you have discerned in easy, which you have discerned by reading all the scriptures, the reason why we do not want to hear all of the scriptures, but we only want to hear only the ultimate good is that, because people of Kali Yuga have short lives. And even if a person has a long life, he is lazy. It is respect to spiritual life. And even if a person has a long life and if he is not lazy, but he is not intelligent, he is unintelligent to understand the spiritual subject matters. But even if the person is intelligent, but he is unfortunate because people of Kali Yuga, they do not have the association of the devotees of the Lord. And even if they are fortunate, in the sense they have the association of the devotees of the Lord, but still they are afflicted with different problems. Like sometimes, like just during the Bhagavatam class, we get pressure to clear stomach. We have the association of devotees, but because of different bodily problems, we are not able to take advantage of it. And even if a person or he may not get a time to hear from the mouth of a devotee, and even if he hears from the devotee, but he cannot discern the highest goal for the human being and then carry out actions to attain it. So these are the disqualifications. But Prabhupada writes a very beautiful purport. He says that the people have short lives in Kali Yuga not because of insufficient food, but because of irregular habits and because of overeating and over sense gratification and because of over dependence on another's mercy. So in the Vedic culture, Brahmana, Kshatriya and Vaishya, they would be actually they would have independence. Only Shudras would be dependent. But in Kali Yuga, majority of the people are Shudras. Only few people have independence. So because of over dependence on another's mercy, there is actually they are short lived. Then he mentioned other points. The next verse.
Bhurini bhuri karmani shotavyani vibhagashah atastadotra yatsaram samudhritya manishaya bruhi badraya bhutanam yenatma sukrasilati.
So here they ask the second question. So here they say, the second question is, please extract the essence of all the scriptures and describe the different practices which are worthy of hearing. So here they are asking, please give the essence of all the scriptures. The first question is that what is beneficial. Now he is telling that please, the essence of all the scriptures. And describe the practices worthy of hearing, which include many actions by which one will be completely satisfied. Yena Atma Suprasidati. So Atma can refer to soul, by which the soul can be completely satisfied, or it can refer to mind or intelligence, by which the mind can be completely satisfied, or the intelligence can be completely satisfied. And you can take in different ways. So here, so why they want the essence of the scriptures? Because it is impractical to understand and undergo all the lessons of the scriptures. And second reason Prabhupada explains is that because people have so many attachments, it is not possible to sever relationship from the families. And it is not very difficult to practice Varnashram in Kali Yuga. So therefore, it is just tell only the essence. And third reason why they want the essence is that the whole atmosphere is surcharged with opposition. So impractical, attachment and opposition. Because of these three reasons, they want only the essence. So that it is mentioned, it is said, there is a verse which says that Aneka Shastram Bahu Veditavyam. There are so many scriptures and Bahu Veditavyam. And each word in the scriptures has got many meanings. There are many scriptures and each word has got many meanings. And alpasya kala. And on top of that we have limited time. Alpasya kala. And bhagavasya vigna. On top of that we have many obstacles. So therefore, this particular author is saying, tatsara bhutam upasitavyam. Therefore, just take the essence and worship that essence. So, take the essence and worship that essence. Therefore, the sages are asking the essence. The next verse. Suta janasi badram te bhagavan sattvatam patihi devakyam vasudevasya yato yasya sikirshaya. In this verse, they are asking the third question. That is, what is the purpose of Krishna's appearance? What is the purpose of Krishna's appearance? So Krishna is addressed by the word Sattvatam Patihi. So Vishnu is called as Sattvam, the possessor of Sat, because he possesses all the devotees as his expansions. And Sattvatam refers to the devotees. Sattvam refers to Vishnu. Sattvatam refers to devotees. And Sattvatam Pati refers to again Vishnu, the protector of the devotees, that is Vishnu. So here they are saying, they are blessing Suta Goswami, Badram Te, out of, because they are anxious to know about the absolute truth, they are pronouncing blessings upon the Suta Goswami. Next verse. Tanna Susrusha Mananam Argas Anganu Varnitam Yasyavataro Bhutanam Shema Yacha Bhava Yacha. So here they are saying, please explain the teachings of the previous acharyas. One is uplifted both by hearing them and speaking them. So Vishnu Chakravarti says the word shemayacha bhavayacha means that you should describe that Lord to us who makes his appearance for the liberation and the material prosperity of all beings. So Lord appears both for liberation and material prosperity of all beings. So, when Krishna explains in the Gita, Sahayagya Praja Srishva Puro Vacha Prajapati Anena Prasavishyadvam Yesha Voshkrishva Kamadu. So, perform these sacrifices by which you will attain prosperity in this world and liberation in the next world. Like Prabhupada explains in one place in the Nectar of Devotion. He says, it's a very beautiful plan in the Nectar of Devotion. He says, if the whole society performs the respective duties of Varna and Ashram, there is no doubt that all the members will live very peacefully and happily. And without wanting the necessities of life, the whole world will be turned into Vaikuntha. And even without being transferred to the kingdom of God, by following the injunctions of Bhagavatam and prosecuting the duties of Krishna consciousness, all human society will be happy in all respects. So, Prabhupada is saying there is no need to actually even transfer outside to actually Vaikuntha, because the whole world itself will be transferred into Vaikuntha. If we accept the system given by Krishna and if we follow devotional service, so Krishna appears for the liberation and material prosperity of all living beings. So then the next three verses, the sages glorify the holy name and the devotees of the Lord and the Krishna Katha. So we will recite the three verses together. Apanna samsmritim goram yennama vivasho vrinan tata sadyo vimucheta yadvi veti svayam vayam yatpada samshraya suta munaya prashamayana sadhya punantyu pasprishta svardunyaponu sevaya kova bhagavatastasya punya shloke dya karmanabha shuddhikamonu shuniya yashak kalimalapaham. So in the 14th verse they say that when a person chants the holy name of the Lord, that even when a person chants unconsciously, one can be even in present tense, unconsciously, one can be freed immediately from the complicated meshes of the birth and death. Even by unconscious chanting of the holy name. So this actually refers to Ajamil. Ajamil pastime is indicated in the first, in this verse itself, in the beginning itself. And in regards to Tatpada Samshaya Sutta, in regards to devotees, it's explained, devotees compared with the Ganges. In the case of the Ganges, in order to get purified, you have to come in contact with the Ganges. But in the case of the devotee, even by remembering the devotee, one can be purified. Even by remembering a devotee, one can be purified. Yesham Sanswaranath Kumsam Sadhya Shudyanti Vaigurga Parishad Maharaj Siling Shurde Goswami. Simply remembering, you will be purified. And in regards to Krishna Katha, they say, Kova Bhagavata Sasya Punya Shlokedya Karmanaha Shuddhi Kamo Anushuniyat. Who will not hear about Krishna Katha for the satisfaction of one's intelligence? Which actually which completely nullifies all the faults of Kali Yuga. Yashat Kali Malapaham. And which immediately and whose actions are praised by reputed person, Punya Shlokedya Karmanaha. So like that. So Prabhupada explains many points in the first verse. We'll go to the next verse. So the 17th verse are the fourth question. Tasya karmani udarani parigitani surivihi bruhina shabda dananam lidaya dadatakala. So here they ask about the activities of Krishna. So please tell about the activities of Krishna who supports the forms of the avatar, all the avatars by his will. The word dadata means, the word dadata means he who supports the forms of all the avatars. So tasya karmani udarani parigitani suridhi. Please tell about the pastimes or the leelas of Krishna. And what is the nature of Krishna's activities? Tasya karmani udarani. His activities are magnificent and gracious. And great learned sages like Narada sing of them. Parigitani suribhi. Great learned people sing of it. And bruhina shraddha dananam. And please describe this passage for those who are eager to hear. Shraddha dananam. Those who are faithful. So udarani refers to how Krishna is generous in fulfilling the desires of the devotees. And karmani refers to Krishna's activities of killing the demons. And his activity, how he is powerful in killing the demons. Udarani refers to how he is actually generous in fulfilling the desires of the devotees. 18th verse, they ask the fifth question. Atakya hi harer diman avatarakata shubha lila vidanatata spairam ishvarasyatma mayaya. So in this verse, they talk about that. They tell, ask Sutta Goswami, please describe about the activities of the other avatars. Please tell about the non-material stories of the avatars of the Lord. Who performed different activities by his internal powers, by his internal agency. Ishwaras Atma Mayaya. Leela Vidhata Swairam Ishwarasya Atma Mayaya. By his internal potency, the Lord performed different activities in his different incarnations. Please describe all the activities of the avatars. So next verse.
Vayam Tuna Vitrupyama Uttama Shloka Vikrame Shrimvatam Rasajyanam Swadu Swadu Pade Pade.
So here they say, we are never tired of actually hearing the pastimes of Krishna. That those who are rasajna, they relish Krishna's pastimes newer and newer at every step. So good books are those books which people like to hear. Which people like read with joy. But great books are those books which people can reread with joy. But the greatest books are those books which people can reread for unlimited number of times with joy. So that is in the case of Srimad Bhagavatam. So in the case of any mundane book, a person develops a joy because of the novelty of the information. It is only a one-way process. You are trying to understand the book. But in the case of Gita or the Srimad Bhagavatam, it is a two-way process. You are trying to understand and Krishna also reveals. Because Krishna also reveals, because Krishna is unlimited, anything about Krishna is unlimited. So this process of like Krishna revealing to us, it can go on unlimited number of times. Krishna can give newer and newer meanings. So therefore, swadhu swadhu padai padai. A person can relish newer and newer meaning at every step. So that is the nature of the greatest books. So so next verse. Kṛtavān kila karmāṇi saha rāmena keśavah atimartyāṇi bhagavān gūḍa kapaṭa mānuṣah. The Supreme Lord Krishna, whose intentions remain concealed. Read Prabhupada's translation, 20th verse. No? So Krishna performed many superhuman acts, ati martyani. So usually when a person performs superhuman acts, that it becomes easily visible to us, but still it is explained, guda kapata manusha. And somebody performs something extraordinary, it becomes obvious, oh, he is something extraordinary. But Krishna can perform extraordinary acts, but still give a feeling to the people as if he is an ordinary person. Because he is guda. Guda kapata manusha means his intentions remain inconcealed, or it is explained that he played like a human being and so masked he performed many superhuman acts. He performed superhuman acts and at the same time he appeared like a human being. So guda kapata manusha. So Vishnu Chakravarti says that when Krishna performed different activities, that his pure devotees, like when he performed different activities, like Jarasandha and other demons, they considered Krishna to be an ordinary person. Because Krishna went disguised as a Brahmana to actually make a request to Jarasandha. He is deceptive with the spirit. Krishna was deceptive. He concealed his intention when he went to Jarasandha. He concealed his intention. He acted as Guda Kapata Manusha. Concealed his intention with the materialistic demons. And also with his pure devotees like gopis, he concealed his intention. When the gopis came to meet Krishna in Ras Leela, Krishna, he told them to actually go back. He spoke something which was not exact. His intention was something, but he spoke in a different way. In this way he said that the Lord concealed his intention both of the pure devotees and also the materialistic people. So he says that the bewilderment of the demons is due to their material ignorance. And bewilderment of the devotees like the gopis is because of their prema. Both the demons are ignorant of Krishna, they are bewildered about Krishna's intention. And the pure devotees are also ignorant about Krishna's intention. So who are actually aware of Krishna's greatness? Only the sadhakas. So the sadhakas are actually aware of Krishna's greatness. So next verse. Kalim agatam agnyaya kshetresmin vaishnavevayam asana dirga satrena katayam sakshana hare. So here the sages, Sutta Goswami is saying, you are asking so many questions and asking me to answer this question, but you have come here to perform sacrifice, is it not? You are actually, you have come here to perform sacrifice. It is surprising that you are all actually, you people are to be absorbed in ritualistic sacrifices. What are you asking these questions to me? The sages are saying, actually, we have come here on the pretext of performing a sacrifice, but our real interest is to hear about the glories of Hari. So, on the pretext of a prolonged sacrifice, we have come here in order to hear about the Lord. The next verse. Vamnasandarshito dātra dustaram nitti tirshatam kalim sattvaharam pumsam karna dharani varnavam. So here they say that we think that we have met your goodness by the will of the providence just so that we may accept you as the captain of the ship for those who desire to cross the difficult ocean of Kali, which deteriorates all the good qualities of human being. So Kali Yuga is like a ocean of faults, and the message of Krishna is like the ship. And the representative of Suta Goswami is like a captain. He has accepted you as a captain in order to cross this ocean of Kali Yuga by hearing from you. And then they ask the last question in the 23rd verse. Bruhi Yogeshware Krishne Brahmanye Dharma Varmani Swam Kashtam Adunopete Dharmakam Sharanam Gataha. So Krishna is called as Dharma Varmani. Dharma Varmani means only the protector of Dharma, or acting like an armor for Dharma. Just like there is a police officer who was terrorizing all the Gundas. The police officer is transferred to some other place. We naturally want to know how is the law and order going to be maintained now. So similarly, because Krishna is like the armor of Dharma, they are asking, since Krishna has disappeared, now where the Dharma has actually taken shelter now that Krishna has entered his abode? So this is the sixth question they asked in this verse. So we'll end here. Nantara Srimad Bhagavatam ki jaya, Srila Prabhupada ki jaya, Gaura Bhakta Vrinda ki jaya.
Please take the questions for tomorrow again. First question. What are the five items with which Srimad Bhagavatam is compared to and why? What are the five items with which Bhagavatam is compared to and why? The initial ones, lamps and other things. 5 marks. Second question. Write the verse and translation of 1.1.1 Janavadyasa and write the salient points from Srila Prabhupada's purport. Write points from Prabhupada's purport. Write verse and translation and some important points from Prabhupada's purport. 15 marks. Third question. What are the levels of non-enviousness explained by Srila Prabhupada in second purport? Levels of non-enviousness, 3 marks. Fourth question. How does Prabhupada explain the concept of rasa in third purport? How does Prabhupada explain the concept of rasa in third purport? Also write the verse and translation of third verse. Nikanaka Vikara, but verse in translation. Fifth question. What are the qualities of Kali Yuga people? 3 marks. Sixth question. What are the qualifications of Suta Goswami? 5 marks. Last question. What are the 6 questions asked by the sages? 6 marks. devotees can because the questions are known only, you can plan how much to write in the exam tomorrow. Write it very, very short, briefly. Exam time is only for half an hour, 30 minutes, and back in, you know. So this 5-6 questions can be answered in that 30 minutes. You can plan how much to write. What are the qualities of Kali Yuga people means? Just write the qualities in just 2-3 lines only, not more. Point form, not so much. And study need not be restricted to these questions. You can nicely study the whole chapter, and whatever we can answer in half an hour, that much only is given there. Thank you. Generally keep the questions in the notice board. Whenever I am here, I will personally give.